Camelot. Camelot. Camelot.
It's only a model.
Shh. Knights, I bid you welcome to your new home. Let us ride to Camelot.
When knights are around the table, we dance where we're able. We do routines, we call the scenes, we put work in bed cable. We dine well here in Camelot, we eat ham and jam and spam art. When knights are around the table, our shows are more playtable. So many times we give and rhymes that are quite unsingable. We're not so bad in Camelot, we sing from the die of Camelot.
I have to push the pram a lot.
We're on second boat, let's not go to Camelot.
Sam, sorry.
It is a silly place.
What knight lives in that castle over there?
I'm 37.
What?
I'm 37, I'm not old.
Well, I can't just call you man.
You could say Dennis.
I didn't know you were called Dennis.
Well, you didn't bother to find out, did you?
I did say sorry about the old woman, but from behind you looked...
What I object to is you automatically treat me like an inferior.
Well, I am king.
Oh, king, eh? Very nice. And how do you get that, eh? By exploiting the workers. By hanging on to outdated imperialist dogma, which perpetuates the economic and social differences in our society. If there's ever going to be any progress...
Dennis, there's some lovely filth down here. Oh, how'd you do?
How do you do, good lady? I'm Arthur, King of the Britons. Whose castle is that?
King of the who?
The Britons.
Who are the Britons?
Well, we all are. We are all Britons. And I am your king.
I didn't know we had a king. I thought we were an autonomous collective.
You're fooling yourself. We're living in a dictatorship. A self-perpetuating autocracy in which the working classes...
Oh, there you go, bringing class into it again.
That's what it's all about. If only people would...
Please, please, good people. I am in haste. Who lives in that castle?
No one lives there.
Then who is your lord?
We don't have a lord.
What?
I told you, we're an anarcho-syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Order? Who does he think he is?
I'm your king.
Well, I didn't vote for you.
You don't vote for kings?
Well, how'd you become king, then?
The Lady of the Lake, her arm clad in the purest shimmering samite, held aloft Excalibur from the bosom of the water, signifying by divine providence that I, Arthur, was to carry Excalibur. That is why I'm your king.
Listen, strange women lying in ponds distributing swords is no basis for a system of government. Supreme executive power derives from a mandate from the masses, not from some farcical aquatic ceremony.
Be quiet!
Oh, but you can't expect to wield supreme executive power just because some watery tart threw a sword at you.
Shut up!
Oh, but if I went round saying I was an emperor, just because some moistened bint had lobbed a scimitar at me, they'd put me away.
Shut up! Will you shut up?
Ah, now we see the violence inherent in the system.
Shut up!
Oh, come and see the violence inherent in the system! Help, help, I'm being repressed,
bloody peasant!
Oh, what a giveaway. Did you hear that? Did you hear that, eh? That's what I'm on about. Did you see him repressing me? You saw it, didn't you?
Hey, hey, King Shazir's the Terrible. All rise for King Shazir's the Terrible and the Knights of the Round Table.
If I were the devil, if I were the prince of darkness, I'd want to engulf the whole world in darkness, and I'd have a third of its real estate and four-fifths of its population, but I wouldn't be happy until I had seized the ripest apple on the tree, thee. So I'd set about however necessary to take over the United States. I'd subvert the churches first. I'd begin with a campaign of whispers. With the wisdom of a serpent, I would whisper to you as I whispered to Eve. Do as you please. To the young, I would whisper that the Bible is a myth. I would convince them that man created God instead of the other way around. I would confide that what's bad is good and what's good is square. and the old I would teach to pray after me, our Father, which art in Washington. And then I'd get organized. I'd educate authors in how to make lurid literature exciting so that anything else would appear dull and uninteresting. I'd threaten TV with dirtier movies, and vice versa. I'd peddle narcotics to whom I could. I'd sell alcohol to ladies and gentlemen of distinction. I'd tranquilize the rest with pills. If I were the devil, I'd soon have families at war with themselves, churches at war with themselves, and nations at war with themselves, until each in its turn was consumed. And with promises of higher ratings, I'd have mesmerizing media fanning the flames. If I were the devil, I would encourage schools to refine young intellects, but neglect to discipline emotions. Just let those run wild. Until before you knew it, you'd have to have drug-sniffing dogs and metal detectors at every schoolhouse door. Within a decade, I'd have prisons overflowing. I'd have judges promoting pornography. Soon I could evict God from the courthouse, then from the schoolhouse, and then from the houses of Congress. And in his own churches, I would substitute psychology for religion and deify science. I would lure priests and pastors into misusing boys and girls and church money. If I were the devil, I'd make the symbol of Easter an egg and the symbol of Christmas a bottle. If I were the devil, I'd take from those who have and give to those who wanted until I had killed the incentive of the ambitious. And what'll you bet? I couldn't get whole states to promote gambling as the way to get rich. I would caution against extremes in hard work, in patriotism, in moral conduct. I would convince the young that marriage is old-fashioned, that swinging is more fun, that what you see on TV is the way to be. And thus I could undress you in public, and I could lure you into bed with diseases for which there is no cure. In other words, if I were the devil, I'd just keep right on doing what he's doing.
Paul Harvey.
There's something happening here, but what it is ain't exactly clear. There's a man with a gun over there, telling me I got to beware. I think it's time we stop, children, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. There's battle lines being drawn. Nobody's right if everybody's wrong. Young people speak in their minds, are getting so much resistance from behind. Time we stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. What a field day for the heat. A thousand people in the street, singing songs and carrying signs, mostly say hooray for our side. It's time we stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. Strikes deep into your life, it will creep. It starts when you're always afraid. Step out of line, the man come and take you away. You better stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going. You better stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going. You better stop now, what's that sound? Everybody look.
Round table.
everybody. You're listening to the Knights of the Round Table at www.shazizradio.com. If you want to join in on the chat, jump over there to the superchat.html where you have access to not one, but three separate chat rooms. So, today's question is why? Yes, that's a question that you could be asking a lot, especially in today's current circumstances. But the biggest thing is, at one point in time, I believe this world was a whole lot different than what we see right now. And so I stumbled on to one day, I stumbled on to a video out there that basically talked about a place called Devil's Tower in Wyoming. And apparently the story goes that the person looked at that deal, who was a botanist, one that studies basically plant life, and said that that was a tree stump. I don't know, as crazy as that might sound, I listened into the deal and I looked at the pictures and really kind of made sense the way it was explained anyway. But I want you to contemplate on something for a second. If indeed that really was a tree stump, two things. One is, according to the calculations, that tree would have been about 6 miles tall. Wow. 6 mile tall tree. Now that's a big tree. Now, the second part of that would be is, if the tree was 6 miles tall, what kind of dude was big enough to chop it down? Wow. Alright, well, anyway, if you Google up world's tallest trees or something like that, you'll come across some pretty interesting pictures out there. There's actually some pictures like dating back to the 1800s and such where, you know, you got like 100 guys standing on one log of a tree. And there's actually National Forest where they actually have tunnels that actually go through trees to the other side. Drive right straight through the tree. That's a big tree. And I have seen trees, you know, in my area that are pretty old trees, pretty big, big trees. So one day I was standing out there in the field and I was looking at this thorn tree out there. They call them honey locusts. Some of them are called black locusts. The honey locusts are the ones that, you know, have the big, long, giant thorns on them. And the black locusts have probably about an inch or two long thorns on them. And both have their pros and cons, apparently, as far as trees go. And I'm sitting here and I'm looking at this doggone tree and with all these thorns and it doesn't look like anything that I'd ever even want to, like, you know, let's just say hypothetically tree huggers wanted to go up and hug a tree. That'd probably be the very last one that they'd, you know, make an attempt to hug. And so my question that came to my mind was why? Why would this tree have big, giant, nasty thorns on it? Then I got to thinking back about, well, if there was indeed a tree at one point in history that was 6 miles tall and somebody chopped it down, or, you know, if you look at the logging industry throughout the history of time and how many people's cut down trees and, you know, if you want to think about trees maybe possibly having some conscience or whatever, maybe they decided to grow thorns so that you wouldn't touch it. If you look at a lot of the a lot of different wild fruits, blackberries, raspberries, bushes and stuff like that, they always got like thorns hanging off of them. And you said if you want a blackberry or a raspberry, you got to proceed with caution. Otherwise, you're gonna get messed up with some of them thorns. And there's a lot of fruits out there that basically nature put thorns around. And so, you know, either way, I'm thinking about this world, and I'm thinking about, why for a lot of different reasons, for a lot of different questions. There's so many different questions that you could use the why for. I mean, why do men do what they do in this world? Why does this world have to be the way that it is, and so on and so forth? So today I'm pretty much going to go in all kinds of different directions of why. Starting off with thorn trees, why? Why would nature put thorns on trees? I mean, the only purpose of a thorn tree is to keep you off of it, I guess. Keep animals from eating the leaves and stuff like that. But I've seen that, if you allow some of these trees, like the black locust, they'll actually grow trees out of their own roots, and they'll just take over the place, and it turns the place into basically something out of a sci-fi monster movie. You know, you got all these thorns in every doggone direction. And so, good morning, Barry. And so, I'm thinking, why would nature feel the need to protect itself against us? Why would nature feel a need to protect itself against the animals and such? Well, I don't know. If you look at some of the animals out there, they got shells with, looks like armor on them. Like the snapping turtles and such, alligator turtles. And, you know, nature's actually designed things to, have its own defense mode. So, while I'm in the process of asking the question why and trying to actually struggle for my brain to, come up with the words that the point I'm trying to convey here is, there were some folks that believe that we actually chose to come here, before we were born. We looked down and decided we want to come down here for the adventure, right? Well, my biggest question is, especially knowing the state of affairs that the world's in today, is why? Why would anybody be that stupid to want to come down here? Why would anybody, want to subject themselves to a world like this? I can only see one purpose for even wanting to come to this earth. And that would be to come down and try to fix the damage that prior civilizations had done to what was once a beautiful gift from what I believe a creator. Now, if you're listening in on the show and you don't believe in the creator, that's fine. We can still talk. It's not, you don't have to up and leave or anything, because the questions, they'll apply to you as well. I'm just asking the question, why? Why would anybody want to come here? And when I was finally born into the world, why would anyone in this world ever want me to know how bad this world was? Why would they tell me things? Why would they share secrets of the world? Why would anybody out there want to basically tell me about secret societies or doomsday prophecies? Why would anybody want to do anything? See, I think everything in this world has a purpose, just like those thorns on those trees and the thorns on flowers and thorns on fruit bushes and stuff. I think that everything has a purpose, because I honestly feel that the world is a divine creation. Now, from whatever higher power or entity or whatever, I believe that this is all, there's a purpose for it. If I had never been told the world was a mess, if I had never been told that the world was hungry and the world was homeless and the world was in need, then I would have never, got involved. The Knights of the Round Table was a concept, and it's not a totally original concept, because it goes back to the story of King Arthur, and he wanted the knights to feel like they're sitting on a level playing field where everybody at the table was equal, and they made life-altering decisions together to rule the kingdom in the best way possible. Well, here we're kind of doing the same thing, but we're not really talking about, a leader, so to speak. We're kind of like a bunch of like-minded individuals that like to come together and share ideas and solutions to, make this world a better place. Sometime nature reared its dark side and popped thorns on all the trees, said enough's enough. If you're going to cut this tree down, you're going to work hard for it. Think about a 6-mile-tall tree. Sit here and contemplate on that for a second. And look around you at the earth and all that we've been taught throughout history. I don't believe that history is a true representation of what really occurred in our lifetimes. And I believe even if you're really seriously educated and you don't really believe in a higher power or anything, and you believe in years and years and years of evolution or whatever, I believe that you too could agree that our history hasn't been told to us the way that it probably actually occurs. They say that the victor pretty much writes the story. And they pretty much say it the way it is that they want it to be. So to actually trace back the truth of all of our roots, all of us. The Good Book talks about the original tribes, scattered all over the land and such. And so maybe we're all descendants, and even via evolution, if you still really wanted to believe that we all came from a tiny microscopic bacteria or single-celled organism and worked our way up, then at some point in the game, then we must all have been related at some point in time. However you look at it, the question still remains, why? What's the purpose of all this? What's the purpose of coming to a world where men and women can't get along, and they constantly, everything's dramatic, everything's terrible, everything's dangerous, everything's frustrating? It's like, man, if I want to go to a world, I want to go to a utopia, a heaven on earth or something, like some place where it's really nice and everybody gets along. You don't go to a party for everyone to be fighting. You go to a party for everyone to have fun and enjoy life and be together, companionship and such. So, I don't know what the heck I was thinking if I did have a choice before I actually showed up on this earth and, said, hey, do you want to go down there to earth and enjoy the experience of life? And I'm like looking down there and I'm saying, are you crazy? Have you lost your mind? I ain't going down there. Look what those people are doing to each other. And so then I have to think about for a second, wait a second. Maybe my purpose might have been something slightly different. Maybe I looked down there and said, oh my, these folks need some help. Said, I don't want to go down there, but somebody got to get down there and start cleaning the house because it's a mess down there. That would be the only common sense reason why I would choose to come here. But now that I am here, for whatever purpose I am here, whether it be by accident or however I got thrown up into the mix, for some reason or another, I was born into a family that had people that loved me and cared for me and took care of me, and all the way through my life there was somebody there to kind of make sure that I had food and clothes and things that I needed. And I was born in a country where I was supposedly free. And so as I grew up and I studied and I looked out into the world, and things just didn't seem to make sense to me in anything, I just started developing a concern for my brothers and sisters around the globe. Or the flat earth, whichever one you choose. Look, I said this a million times, and I make so many people mad because, my views on this world is so far out of what the mainstream would want an average Joe to think about. It's so far out of the box that I believe in possibilities. Personally, I don't know whether the earth is round, whether it's flat, or whether there is or isn't really a God. I choose to believe in certain things. But it doesn't matter to me what shape it is. It matters to me what shape it is in. You know, there's that terminology thing again. It's how you present those words and how they come across to whoever's listening that makes all the difference in the world. Whatever shape this world is doesn't matter to me as much as what shape this world is in. We've been lied to so many times. There ain't a single soul alive, I believe, that hasn't been lied to in their lifetime. Question would be, once again, why? Why would you want to go down there and spend some time with humans and, you know, the propensity to darkness and lies and whatever? You know, that free will thing comes with a whole lot of responsibility. Especially if your destiny was to go down here and be a caretaker or, try to make a difference in the world. There's a lot of stories. Too many stories to tell. Every single life that's ever lived on this earth has a story. Some amazing and some sad and tragic. And you have to ask yourself why. Well, you don't have to ask yourself why. I guess you could just go with the flow, just like everybody else, tiptoe through the tulips as if nothing's wrong in the world. But once I grew a big heart and concern for people that cared for me, and I looked out and I seen the other people in the world had needs, and I wanted for them the same thing that was provided for me in my lifetime, you know, I stepped foot on the path and began down a journey of life towards trying to do something positive for the world, trying to make the world a better place. Heck, I've been trying to make the world a better place since the day I was born. Because it hasn't always been a wonderful place for me. I've been through my trials and tribulations just like everybody else under the sun. Nobody's ever really had a perfect, easy life. And I would even submit to you that even the wealthiest people on the planet, even while they were so rich and had everything, all the silver and gold and jewels and fancy clothes and homes and cars, that their life wasn't the epitome of perfection. Because there's one thing that you can't really buy, and that's true love. True love is something that's owned by the individual and shared to the masses. True love is something that, it's a power that's, comes from somewhere. Somewhere within, somewhere from some part of existence. True love just kind of seems to fill in the gaps. You know, and once you have that love in your heart, it's amazing what you can do with it. You know, I keep telling everybody in this world that I meet, you know, you are more powerful than you can possibly imagine. And I don't mean in some sort of hoodoo, voodoo version and way or anything like that. Some sort of magical, you're a witch or a wizard or a magician or whatever. I mean that the power of your actions makes things happen. The power of your words makes things happen. The power of your love makes things happen. Both positive and negative, you know, that yin and yang thing. And so, knowing that, and that you have been pretty much gifted free will, for it doesn't even matter even if you believe in evolution. However you got it, you got a choice. From the day you were evolved up to, from a single cell organism to a monkey to a man, however you got here, don't matter. You have a choice whether to eat that banana or not. The brain, it gives you that opportunity to choose. Or whether you was gifted, free will from a divine entity. You still have choice. You can choose what to do or what not to do in this world from the day that you're born. You know, some folks like to say that, well, you know, I'm a jerk because everybody before me treated me poorly and they were jerks and, you know, I wouldn't be like this if it wasn't for them. Well, there comes a time when your consciousness becomes you, you know. When you break away from mommy and daddy and you move on into, you know, manhood and such, or womanhood, and you actually, you know, can make your own decisions. That's when you began to choose. Even maybe before you even left home, you began to choose. And so, just like those plants with the thorns, people start to end up growing thorns of their own. Not the visible kind. Maybe not even necessarily the painful kind. And so, the world, in the state of affairs that we find ourselves in, is a choice. It's all been a choice all along. Everything that we do has been a choice. Now, I know what the prophecies say, and I know what the stories say. I know what everybody else says. Everybody, you know, when you look at something and something seems to be so overwhelming and it seems to be written in stone, there ain't no way you can do nothing about it. Well, then you become jaded. And so, hold on, I'm trying to type a message. So you become jaded. And you start to look at the world in a different way and you start to lose your concern for others because, you know, it's a protection thing. I gotta put my barrier up. I gotta put my thorns out. I gotta protect myself against the world because the world's gone mad. I have a real hard time trying to understand why. Why is probably the biggest question on my mind. You know, when you're born, where did I come from? What's the purpose? Why am I here? And that kind of stuff, you know. But I'm thinking I already figured out my purpose. I'm just trying to figure out why. Why would I choose it? Why would anybody choose it for me? I'm going to try to add a couple people to the call. To the show here. Starting off with Barry. Let me see if I can get him in there. Let's see how we can get this going on here. So, when I look out there and I see all the possibilities of what could actually be done in this world, and I think about everything being in the state of affairs that it is currently, and you know, look, folks, I understand there's a lot of stuff going on in this world. It's too much stuff going on in this world, you know. And there's another reason why I asked the question: why? Why is things got to be the way that they are, you know? And like I said, I know the stories. I know what my book says about the whole deal, and I know where my book ends up, the story ends up. I've read it front to back. I get it. But why humanity would want to travel down that path? You know, if you actually take a look around you whenever there's like wars and death and destruction going on and people in foreign nations battling with each other, and it's not just foreign nations, so don't get me wrong, I'm not trying to single out any society or culture or anything like that. What I'm trying to say is that if you actually look at the chaos of war and fighting and the things that people do to one another, you know, here in the United States, it's not necessarily the safest place, but if you know where to go, like where I'm at right now, I got people outside doing battle. You know, I got to be on my alert because you never know when some stray clown from the city might come rolling in, decide he either want to do something bad or, you know, borrow something for eternity that I got that he wanted to, whatever. You understand what I'm trying to say? Basically, crook you out, steal from you, rob you, loot, pillage, and all that kind of stuff. And it boggles my mind. It literally blows my mind that people are so blinded by their own greed and wants and egos or whatever that they would do to each other the things that I see humans doing. So if I go all the way back to the time when people say that, you know, I chose to come here, you know, I would have to really say, what were you thinking? Because if I knew what I know now and had the same option, the same question proposed to me, do you want to go down there to Earth and experience life and all that kind of stuff, you know? I'd be like, are you mad? Have you lost your mind? You see what them people are doing to each other down there? So, no, I wouldn't have came here other than if it was a reason that somebody down here needed some help. And, you know, after that...
Well, it's not like you really had a choice, though, should this?
Well, I know, but I'm saying there are people out there in this world who actually believe that we chose to come here. Now, that ain't something, I'm not saying that that's something that I subscribe to, but I'm just saying that if I was to have had a choice, I don't think I'd have showed up to this party. You know what I mean?
Who'd want to come here? I mean, really, but, you know, let's go back a couple hundred years and I would have been on the first train to get here because the planet was a lot different 200 years ago than it is right now.
Well, I believe that, too.
200 years. Well, 200 years, we've pretty well done our in, shizzes, and that's something we can take to our graves as our legacy, I guess.
But I don't want to take that to my grave, Barry.
Well, we are, so what's it going to take for the human race to wake up?
What's
it
going
to take for the human soul to wake up? I mean, it's out there, guys. What's the matter with everybody? I don't get it.
That's why I'm asking the big question, the biggest question in the world. Why? Why would people want to go down the path to sure destruction? See, we know what the book says, and you and I agree with that, okay? But the question to me is that, let's say somebody gave you an advanced warning that some sort of a apocalyptic event was about to occur, and there was, you know, a possibility that we could avoid it by doing the right thing. Now, wouldn't you at least want to make that attempt to, you know, try to avoid it? You see what I'm saying? Well, not in preparation for it. I mean,
no. Common sense would say, sure, let's try to avoid it. I mean, if you see a disaster coming up ahead of you, and you can avoid it by turning right, turning left, hitting the brakes, doing whatever it takes to avoid the disaster, common sense would say, yeah, let's avoid the disaster. But unfortunately, there is no common sense left in our world. Which is,
well,
we have, you know, the book talks about, you know, many, the highway is going to be wide, that many people are going to follow, and it's going to be so easy to stay in the flow and just go along with everything that's going on, and, you know, don't buck the wagon at all, just go along with everything that's happening in our world. That highway is really wide, millions of people are following it. And then you got a tiny little highway over to the other side.
Yeah.
And guys like you and me are following that highway, and we've got all kinds of bumps and crap we're going through because we chose to follow this highway. But it doesn't deter us. But the human race is going down the main highway, man. How do we turn them around? I don't know if we can.
Well,
the book doesn't tell us about that.
I honestly agree with you that I don't know if we can, but my heart just will not give up. I will not stop trying. You know?
Well, no, we can't stop trying. We're the messengers. All we can do is keep talking. You know, we're going to keep talking right till the last breath comes out of our bodies. But whether we can turn this around or not, I don't have that answer. I kind of refer back to my book, because my book really tells me what's coming here in the very, very near future for the human race, the correlation of events we see going on right now, all the events, All the signs are there. Everything's happening exactly the way it's supposed to happen. And, you know, my favorite song in the whole world right now is Johnny Cash by the Bush. Because every time I listen to that song, he really kind of hits your soul. And he lets you know that, hey, listen, I went through my life a little different person than I am right now, but he's really at the end time of his life, saw the truth. And that song, boy, I play that all the time. It just resonates with me. So. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was at, sorry about that, I was adding Patty in there, kind of cut you out.
Turtle. That's why I'm so looking forward to hearing that voice. Are you there, Patty?
Not yet.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, but you know, if you take the book and you talk about one of the things that Jesus said in the book, it just won't leave my mind, because he said to the prophets, lest these days be shortened and these things must come to pass. And he was talking about all the end time signs before his return and stuff like that. And I'm thinking to myself, well, that's kind of a telling you that unless something changes, that these things would happen. Now, you know, hypothetically and most improbably that all people would finally, you know, repent and turn to their Creator, you know, that would tell me that, you know, God would be pleased about that kind of thing, you know. But, you know, like I said, you know, most unlikely that, you know, you can get the world to do that, but just... If the big word if, we've already asked why people would want to go down the path to you know, a prophesied destruction such as you know, the biblical times, the end times and stuff like that, if they had the opportunity to even remotely change the direction of humanity. You know, I started off by talking about thorns, and there was a story out there where at one time in history that there was this deal that they called Devil's Tower in Wyoming that just looked so strikingly resemblant to a giant tree stump, which if you did the calculations, the size of that tree would have been approximately 6 miles tall. That's a big tree, man. That is a big, big, big tree. But, you know, history hasn't told us about any giant trees other than maybe the redwood and the sequoia and stuff like that. You know, there's actually trees that they cut tunnels through that you can actually drive through. Do you know that?
Yeah, I've seen pictures of that.
So, you know, why people would want do what they do to this world would be... could you imagine a 6-foot-tall tree, Barry? Honestly. That would be so beautiful. And, you know, mankind has pretty much made a doggone mess out of creation. You know?
Yes, they have. And Patty Walking Turtle is now with us. How are you doing, Patty?
I am okay, I think. So here's a conundrum for you. I have to have two browsers open, one for the radio and the other for the chat.
Wow.
Yeah.
Huh.
That's a new one on me.
That's strange.
I couldn't get the radio. I couldn't get the radio to work at all.
Now we're really surrounded, Shaziz.
Yeah.
Barbara and Patty together.
So we're asking why today, folks? Why do trees have thorns? Do they hate us? Do they fear us?
Well, you know, the locusts, the black locusts, if you've ever seen those, they have these enormous, very hard, very painful thorns on them, and they can cause infection pretty easy. And their main cause for having these is to keep animals and people away. Leave me the heck alone, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I got my thorns.
Well, When I looked into
mine must be all broke up.
When I looked into it, they said that the black locusts have the shorter thorns and the honey locusts have the longer thorns. But the honey locusts, I guess there's some sort of sweet stuff that is edible to actually people, as far as what they said. But look at that tree, and whether it be the black locust or the honey locust, those things look hostile.
Yeah, and tell me which ones define short when it comes to those thorns.
Yeah, well, 2 inches is short.
Yeah, yeah. You know, some of them grow in clusters, too.
Yeah.
There'll be little bunches of them. We've got them all over around here, and when you're tromping through the woods, man, it can be painful.
Hasn't nature, mother, done a lot of that to protect things, to protect herself? Look at the rose thorn.
Well, I'm thinking that's a possibility because, like I mentioned earlier, now I don't know this truth because I guess none of us were around when it would have occurred or anything, but there's a story out there where people are saying things. There's a lot of mountains that are the same as the Devil's Tower that, you know, guy swears up and down, this used to be a tree. It's a tree stump. You know, and so I would think after so many years of man just chopping down the trees and, you know, the trees getting smaller, obviously, because they're younger or whatever, regardless of that, what size must a dude have been to cut down a 6 mile tall tree?
Well, now, hold on. me and Barb did a little bit of research on Devil's Tower after your broadcast when we were talking about it. And we found some interesting information. That there is a man, I don't know if you know him on YouTube, his name is Mud Fossil.
Yeah, that's one of the guys I found ran across there.
Well, he talks a lot about giants, and he says that this tower was actually the foot of a giant that got stuck in the mud.
Man.
Yeah.
And broke off?
You know, he says that what you're looking at that looks like the bark of a tree or whatever is actually tendons.
You
I have never known...
A lot of diagrams, right? I mean, he really had this down pat. My only question was, what happened to the other foot? And where are all the other giant's legs stuck in the same mud?
And then me, you know, I'm looking at it and I'm saying, you don't have... 800 or 900 tendons in a leg, I mean an ankle, you know, which would to me have to be what he was talking about.
Well, unless you're a giant.
Well, personally, to me, it looks like more like a tree stump to me, but you know, I could be wrong. We're all just pretty much speculating because none of us were around when it happened, but there are many cultures out there that talk about giants, you know.
Well, then there was also diagrams about the way the earth pushed up, and they had all the molten stuff that pushed up out of the earth, and that's what this particular site is. There's a lot of speculation about what that is, you know,
I'm still siding with the tree. I mean, even though I'm thinking that a tree of this size would dwarf the mountains, which to me would be kind of odd, you know.
Well,
but still, I'm still drawn to the fact that. But I tried to get pictures of the actual top of it up close, where somebody would be standing there, where they could have taken pictures, where we could have actually looked and seen the topography of the top of that mountain. I can't find any.
We did find one, but it was quite a distant shot.
Too far away.
Too far away.
To see if it had any tree rings in it?
To
see what the whole thing from the top does appear to be. Of course, so what comes to my mind right now is the sacred tree of life.
Yeah.
You know, like the sacred tree of life could have been the monumental tree first planted here on the Mother Earth.
Uh-oh. I can't hear anybody.
Well, we can hear you.
We can hear you. You know, so that's the thing. We don't know too much about this great mystery, you know, but for if it were one tree on the Earth, Was that the only one tree of that size? Could it have been the sacred tree of life? Addie?
Yeah, she must have lost her connection.
She lost her connection. So that's a question, because if it is a tree, or if it was a tree, where's the rest of the trees that are similar to that? Were the great forests covered the whole earth in the beginning, or was it only that one tree planted here as the tree of life?
Well, there's one more thing, too, that I have a question about. A tree that big would have enormous, enormous roots.
Yeah.
That would be just beyond any scope that we were familiar with. Now, there would be ways to determine in the archaeological information, the way they do things, to determine if those roots were there at one time, wouldn't there?
Yeah. I mean, well, it still brings me back to the big question. Why? Why would science and society want to hide such a magnificent... let's take a giant skeleton, for instance. If you Google up giants, and you'll actually find there's pictures out there of people standing next to giant skeletons. And, you weren't taught that in school, that there were giants on the land or anything like that. That would be amazing for us to find out that maybe one time in history that people were like 90 feet tall or something like that.
That comes from the Bible too. The Bible speaks of the giants, the Nephilim, and they came from another planet. They came down here on Earth.
Right, and if we look at the way things have gone, those are two polar opposites, science and the Bible. The biblical accounts and science have always been at odds with each other, with a little gray area in between. They can't ever let them come together. So that would be their reasoning right there. We can't let people know that there were really giants on this earth, because then that would throw us science out the frickin' window.
So the answer to that particular question could most likely be that the reason why that is hidden from us in history is basically to hide any possibility of a creator. So, you can't keep control over people if they understand that leadership of the world, they're not the higher power. They're not the ones really in charge. They're just kind of ones smacking you around at the moment. So,
And they're the ones making it all up as they go along.
Yeah.
And the scientists, for what they're doing, messing with God's creation, they're not, they're saying we're going to be gods and you can't prevent us from doing that. So what arrogance is that? So if they really allowed themselves to breach that chasm to the truth, what would happen then if they really allowed themselves? They wouldn't be so arrogant, perhaps. I don't know. I have no idea. Maybe they would be arrogant, because there's a lot of people out there that are turning their backs on Creator, on the sacred creation, that you talk about sacred creation, you talk about a living spirit, you talk about the way we do when we say the Mother Earth is a living being, a living essence. They can't go there.
Well, I think
they just can't go.
I think there's one thing that could potentially cause people to rethink their stance on life. See, right now, you got a vast array of people who believe in a higher power, and a vast array of people who don't believe, and you got all different types of cultures with different views and backgrounds, religious beliefs and such like that. But I think for the most part, the not knowing for sure is the reason why it's able for people to be the way that they are, if you understand what I'm saying.
Exactly.
Such as a jerk.
To be manipulated.
Yeah.
To be manipulated by the cabal, by the organizers, to not take their own life in their own hands, and their own connection to Creator in their own hands.
If we look at the world today,
it's run by science. Science calls all the shots. Science has all the answers. And
where are they bringing us?
Yeah, and any biblical account is just it's a fantasy story. Sounds nice, right?
If
suddenly, go ahead.
if suddenly everyone on this earth had irrefutable evidence that there was indeed a higher power and that they were going to be held accountable, how many people do you think would really act the way that they do today?
Exactly.
Well, things have changed in that field a lot because, and that's a part of the manipulation. I was just reading a post on what's going on in Europe and in France that they're just basically taken out. Now, I'm not saying, I have my own issues around Christmas, okay? But they are basically taking the Christ out of Christmas, if you want to say. Like, you can't have statues with the Mary and the Jesus and the baby in the crib, and you can't say this is Christmas, anything to do with Christmas. Even they've changed the Christmas cards to something else. Because they're saying the Muslims are more in this community, the particular community that I'm talking about, there are more Muslims there than Christians. And this is in Europe, in a town, and I guess, I don't know whether it's Walmart or Target, one of them has changed their whole holiday displays to have nothing to do with Christ or Christian. This is what's happening.
Even the Pope has come out and said that we need to stop this Christ stuff. I mean,
Jesus. He said Jesus.
He
said, right?
He outright said that that has no place in Christmas anymore. That
now,
the Jesus
there's
figure
a lot
has
of
to be
questions.
Removed. That the whole story has to be removed.
Well, I have
and
my
this
own question.
The leader of the Catholic Church. Go ahead.
But listen, I have my own questions about the manipulation of the Catholic Church and all this whole thing. The birth basically is wrong. That you just Google that. Christ, you know, the birth of Jesus, the date. A lot of things were manipulated. So there's a lot of mess here. It's not so clear anymore. So this is a big question. Christmas has become a merchandising madness, okay? It's got nothing to do with Jesus or the good words of Jesus or the loving your neighbor as yourself and be kind and do some service for others, help others. It's got nothing to do with that. It's go buy, buy, buy. Purchase. You know, put yourself in debt. So, you know, I have all that those issues with Christmas, you know. I don't know about you guys.
Well, doggone it, it's just, it's, I'm trying to find it, but there is a deal where it talks about in the last days that, pretty much, and I'm paraphrasing because I don't remember the actual phrase itself, that in the last days that essentially all truths would be known and the veil would be lifted and those that are hidden will be shown or whatever, you know, essentially. Kind of like what we're talking about right now, you know, possibility of giants on the land. See, it talked in the book about, you know, David killing Goliath, who was a giant, and yet science doesn't say there were giants. And for some reason, if anybody out there comes across a skeleton that just appears to be a giant, they never can seem to find it anymore after groups like the Smithsonian Institute roll in there and, you know, pretty much covered up or whatever. So you have to ask. If there was a 6 mile tall tree and there really was giants, then that would put some credence on that book that said that in them days there were giants and dragons and basically mythical creatures, you know?
Well, all cultures, ancient cultures, Indian cultures, all different types of tribal cultures, and even in India and so on, all had these so-called myths. And I always say these are not myths. These are factual. And it's been told to us that they are myths, fairy tales, and stories. All Indian cultures here on Turtle Island speak about the giants, the existence of the giants, and also the little people, which are only about 3 feet tall, by the way. And they're all over the world. They're found all over the world. So what on earth, why are they covering this up? That's a good question. I think it's about, it will ruin their opportunity to basically keep everybody in control and in fear, and, you know, basically doing what they want us to do, and not, as I said, we are sovereign beings. We were created as sacred people, sacred children. We are in one relationship with that creator, with that God, you know, and nobody should stand between us, or I'll just say me, nobody's going to stand between myself and my creator, great spirit, and tell me that I'm a sinner, how to get there, how to pray, how to bow down, or whatever it is. No person should have that right. We are sovereign beings.
Well, I believe that
as
well.
There's big money in controlling people. This is like, you have, I feel like the whole controlling over women's bodies has a lot to do with the patriarchy plan. So you have, you have the controlling over women's body, reproduction and all that. And why? You know, and mostly you have, the inability of the poor people or the poor nations, you know, that they are affecting these people. I feel they need children. They need bodies. They need money. Give us your money.
Well, I had thought about, there's a doggone conspiracy theory out there that talks about depopulating the world. And the purpose, I guess, behind depopulating the world is getting it down to a more manageable cattle herd, if you know what I'm saying. But my thing about this is, if you got all these people on this planet, and you can keep them dumbed down, not knowing their past or their significance in the realm we find ourselves living in, then you can keep control over them. And why would you want to totally depopulate them? Because for every one you take out, that's pennies out of your bucket. You see what I mean?
Well, and here's another thing too, Shazoo, is that if you keep the people at polar opposites, to where there's always something between them, even the belief in a creator has been fractioned off into so many different belief systems, all opposing each other. Even the ones that agree have something that says that no, we're the right one, you're the wrong one. This is a constant agitation and a constant deflection. You know, nobody can ever come together because there's too many different perspectives, too many different beliefs. All of this is manufactured to me. Including science. Science is the big kill, the big guy that they throw in there that says that all of you are wrong, we're the right guys, you know?
Yeah.
So it's been a constant manipulation of separation so that we can't come together and talk about this, because if we ever did, we might freaking figure out
the truth
of who and where we come from.
I kind of have a different perspective on the science portion of it, to the extent that when I was younger, and when you ladies and gentlemen were younger, if you took the school books that we were taught back in the day, they were more of real science than I don't believe that modern science is real science. I don't believe that.
I agree.
I believe that there was a time that science stopped. And science to me wasn't that, you know, science was this all-powerful group of entities that know how everything works, and that it was... it was looking, learning, studying, repeating your test, and so on down the line until you finally come to an agreement that this is how things work. And it was just basically our way of studying creation to see how things work. And that's as far as it went. There was no religious to science. You know, like.
But then that's the same way that religion began, isn't it? Is that there was a consensus at first, and then all of a sudden there were different views brought. There were different tenets brought out. There were different experiences, different prophets brought out. And the same thing with science. It came as a whole piece to where, you know, they actually studied life. They studied the way that life existed on this planet. And they were more or less giving you firsthand, this is actually what we see happening. That's when we were young. And then all of a sudden, she says all of that changed. Remember when dinosaurs, that was even false, because dinosaurs were cold-blooded and all of this stuff. And then all of a sudden, do you remember when my kids were in school, all of a sudden that was thrown out the window. No, that's all wrong. Right?
Yeah.
So they revamped, and that's how they've done everything. And if you look back through the ages, that's how they've always created another form of dissension, is by giving you the basis of reality.
Well, imagine,
and then,
imagine playing a football game where you got referees down at the goalpost, and every time you get close, they move the goalpost down farther away from you. Well, that's what I feel like
exactly.
Science has done. You know,
exactly.
You get close to the truth. Yeah, go ahead.
My question is, if these scientists are claiming that they're going to be gods, and nobody can stop them, they must believe in a god.
Well, you got a point.
So what are they really looking to do? They want to become gods. What does that mean? What does that really mean? We're going to become gods.
Well, who do you have to step on? Who do you have to sacrifice? Who do you have to deal with in order to become a god? Anybody got that answer?
Everybody.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I was dealing with the Wild Kingdom. My question was,
I add this question, if those scientists are claiming that they are going to be gods, no one can stop them, they must believe in a god in order to have that desire or that goal. So that was my question. Well, what does that really mean then? What is behind that statement? What are they thinking?
Yeah,
what is their ultimate goal?
My response to her question was, who do you have to step on, or who do you have to deal with, or what do you got to do in order to become a god? Who do you got to sacrifice? Your brothers and sisters, I would assume.
If you can produce life genetically and produce new life, if you can create life, then in the terms of how we define life, you are God, right? Because that's what our Creator did, was He created all life as far as we believe. So if science can step in and fill that gap and say, hey, God was a scientist, which He probably was. I mean, to me, when I look at the way the earth is set up, there's no other way than to say that there was a mind beyond our capacity to understand brilliance that designed life. I mean, I look at it as a wonderment and the greatest of creations ever. Life itself in general, pick an animal, pick a person, it doesn't matter, the knowledge and the genius of this is far beyond our capacity. So we have scientists now who are saying, okay, so I can create life, and so I am a god. But what they're doing is they're building upon life that was already created and changing it. That doesn't prove anything. That proves that you know how to manipulate.
No.
It doesn't prove that you know any better. And of course, when we look at science, we realize that these guys are dumber than they think that they can get away with this and there won't be repercussions. So that part of science, to me, is junk science, because we have a bunch of lunatics attempting to play God and not having the wisdom or the genius that sits behind our creation. You know? Just saying.
Well, as a person who has studied science all his life, I mean, I'm talking about real science, you know, the observation type science and testing and that kind of stuff, I can't look at this world in anything less than amazement at the complexity, the magnificence. I give all the glory to my Creator, because this is beyond people. People couldn't do this. I don't care how good of a scientist you are, you ain't never going to match what God did. That's all
exactly.
There is to it. And you can't improve on perfection. You know?
Plus, you're messing with an intelligence beyond our comprehension.
Well, yeah.
And there are repercussions to things like this, messing with creation. You know, but here's what the thing is. So the cloning, what the scientists are doing, creating life, as we are hearing more and seeing more, or, you know, artificial intelligence and cloning and all the stuff that they're doing. What about the soul? What about the spirit?
Yeah, you know, I think that's where the word abomination comes into play.
Right.
Yeah, where it's not natural. You know?
Exactly. And of course there's the question, well, is there a soul? Is there a spirit? Blah, blah, blah. I mean, there's all this controversy around creator, God, or creation, you know, that this is part of, I think, the manipulation is just to keep people confused and trusting in these so-called, you know, higher ups or elite or the authorities, you know, who have everything under control. You just sit back and just give us your money or give us whatever it is, work for the, you know, work for the cabal, be enslaved, just get on with your, you know, shopping.
That's all. That's it. That's the only purpose I can see to want to hide the past. Why would you want to hide something as amazing as a 6 mile tall tree? I mean, you got a lot of environmentalists out there that want to save the planet. You know, they want to, you know, save the trees and such, but, could you imagine what an environmentalist would do if you was fixing to cut down a 6 mile tall tree? Seriously. Six miles down the road, somebody's in the doghouse, and they better get out.
Well, Stephen, he's put, I can't see, the chat is really messing up for me. I can't see the videos that he's put on here, but he's got electric universe theory would say it was formed by the electromagnetic field of the earth, spikes in the field that lift the earth. It would also explain the hexagonal structures of the stone and some of the structures like canyons, etc., are formed by electrical discharge. I do believe in this theory, and I think the sun actually shows us that this is plausible, and how it reacts to all the planets in our system and everything. But I can't see the dang videos because... For some reason, this browser won't.
The question that would come about that is, how could that potentially be an accident? You know, a coincidence.
Exactly. It's not an accident. Not only do we have a complete system that has been designed in perfection, there is no fault in this system that we call life. None. You cannot find a fault. It's even self-correcting. So. Yeah. If we look at this and then we look at our solar system and see how it functions, then we see that same intelligence, that same ability to connect the dots completely without leaving, you know, it doesn't leave out, there's no mistakes, there's no oops, I forgot that, in our solar system, in the way things work. That's beyond our ability to even understand, our ability to comprehend. We're just now getting to the fact where the people are realizing the true connections that we have with our solar system. This has been going on for how long? It was created this way?
Yeah.
And we're still sitting here thinking that there's not intelligence behind this?
Well,
really?
My only answer to...
Or that we're alone. I have to add that.
Yeah, my only answer to the question of why it is that humanity would want to not believe in some sort of creation is that if you believe that there was a power that was powerful enough to create all this amazingness that's around us, then that would mean that you would literally be held accountable for your lifetime. That sooner or later, you're going to have to face the man and explain why it is that you was out there killing off your brothers and sisters and doing everything that the book said not to do. And even if... Look, I'm trying to be respectful to even those that don't believe because I'm trying to give you the option to open up your mind to possibilities that... Even if you don't believe in, say, the Ten Commandments, you know, just the basic human heart and the golden rules of things that you know are right and wrong, that maybe you were born with, you know, the knowledge of good and evil or whatever, however it came about, you know things are wrong. Killing people's wrong. And so, why would you want to, why would you want to do all that if you knew that when you died, that you are actually going to have to face the person or entity or whatever that created this planet? So The only explanation of why it is that I believe that people would want us to be so far away from the knowledge of the past is so that we would run amok and do whatever the heck it is we want without knowing.
Well, we think it's okay.
Yeah.
It's okay because they're telling us we're going to be attacked or terrorism is on our shores or this is the bad guy, these are the bad guys. So to me, if they take out all the truths and change history and so on and erase all the stuff that would point to the fact that there is a creator, that there is a God, that there is something omniscient, that everything is in, originally was in balance and working beyond our, you know, capacity, even just building the monumental structures that the ancient people did and so on and so forth and the hidden, you know, the giants and this and that. So it's all erase all that so people can just look to us.
Yeah.
For the answers.
Follow
and
the leader.
We will create the problems and then give you the solutions so that you're okay with us bombing people or killing people or destroying the earth or the waters because you need everything that we're going to give you from those sources.
Well, if you take...
And if nothing's sacred, then what do you have to worry about?
Yeah, if you take it from the science perspective or whatever... We can actually visibly witness cause and effect. You know, you cut down a tree, the tree no longer exists. That's it. You know, you burn it under firewood or whatever. We can see that when we do things to nature, nature reacts a certain way. If you dump a bunch of oil in the ocean that kills off all the fish, there's a cause, there's an effect. And so there are repercussions even if you don't believe in a creator. Right.
But if you don't believe in a creator, and we're told that doesn't exist over and over and over again, that's part of the agenda. Then you don't have guilt. You don't care.
And it cheapens life.
Yeah.
It takes life down to an abstract level of it really doesn't matter. I'm only going to be here for a while, so I can do what I want, and they'll just deal with it because there's nothing beyond this. So this is all I've got. So I've got to be me in this time. And I've got to take care of me because there's nothing else after this. There's nothing that I have to fear. And science shows me that, I can do this and I can do that and, things will change, but it won't affect me.
Yeah, but either way, somebody's going to pay the price.
They're not worried because
nobody
life
cares.
Is cheap now.
That's
life
right.
is cheap now. You know, people, when you look at society today and you look at the way people even treat their own children, I mean, you have to step back and shake your head and say, what the frick? How can
nobody cares.
Right.
They don't care and they're doing things beyond our comprehension. They're just actions, behaviors are stunning us. And this is part of the plan and part of the prophecy, but you don't have anyone to answer to. Like Patty says, there, you
and
know,
Shaziz,
what?
Yeah.
Right. Shaziz, when we were kids, we grew up in a time where, God was real, right?
Yeah.
Where, it was common knowledge that there was a creator and it was accepted as such. And when you walked out of your house as a child, and you were playing, say you were climbing way too high in a tree, your neighbor come out and said, get down out of that tree.
Yeah.
You know?
Or you fall out.
If you were doing something wrong, your neighbor came out and got onto you. Or if you fell off your bike and you skinned your knee real bad, your neighbor came out to help you. That's because there was a God and it was present, in everybody's life. Everybody knew that they were part of this creation together. Now, we have a system and a society set up that doesn't believe in God, that only believes in the tangible, in the material. And we see children running amok, and the people's doors are closed. They're not coming out
these
children.
I'm going to add something that I think is very real. What they do believe in, there is a great percentage of those, and we are more aware of it every day, that believe in Lucifer, that believe in Satanism, and their actions and their behaviors are ramping up, and this is what we're dealing with.
Well, you know, as crazy as it sounds, crazy.
Boy, when you play into the dark side, man, the power you'll get is unbelievable.
As crazy as it sounds, there was a man in 1965 who laid it out just like it is playing out today. I mean, he said it like it was a... I mean, like he was standing there. Paul Harvey, in 1965, yeah, said, if I were the devil, and he laid it out just like it's coming out. And so I have to say, that's a big coincidence. If anything at all, that's too much of a coincidence, because he named it out to where metal detectors on the school doors and the hallways and the kids. There was a documentary out there that I mentioned on a prior show that they took a school and they took a prison and they matched them side by side and they asked people, which one of these is the prison? Well, ironically enough, most people picked the school because it looked more like a prison than it did a school. So that's prophecy come true right there from whatever Paul Harvey said back in 1965. And so take all of this stuff in consideration, and you look at to where you know the world has came from, which we don't really know the whole story because of the way that we've been, you know, guided in life by those who call themselves leaders.
Trained.
Yeah, they're pretty much pushing us away from anything that is goodness, anything that is God, and basically taking society down the sewer. I mean, there's things going on right now that just blow my mind. I mean, I just watched a video on YouTube where there was these, they call them drag queens, all right? Look, if you're a grown individual and this is the lifestyle you choose, that's fine. Keep it at home. You know, don't take it to school or to the library and flaunt it in front of the children, because some of the things that they were doing in this video were, you know, basically acting out kind of sexual immoralities in front of kids that were anywhere from 5 years to 13 years old. And to me, that, I was raised in a time, if you tried to pull that stuff back in the time when I was young, the police would be all over you, the neighbors would be all over you, everybody and his brother would be all over you so fast it'd make your head spin. But nowadays, it's like, don't say nothing bad about these people. They're just doing whatever it is feels good. That's what the world's all about. You do what you want, and you don't disrespect or you don't discriminate or nothing like that. It's not about discrimination. But from where I come from, a man is a man, and a woman is a woman, because that's the way that they were created. And unless a man can have a baby, then he's not a woman. That's science.
They've already done that. They've already done that. Well, I saw that video, by the way, that you're talking about, the drag queen coming into the school and so on. But they've already done that. They had this situation where there was a trans... you know, I'm not up on the language, but I'm just going to say
it. It was a female who had become a male, right, who still had a womb.
Were the devil. If I were the prince of darkness, I'd want to engulf the whole world in darkness. And I'd have a third of its real estate and four-fifths of its population, but I wouldn't be happy until I had seized the ripest apple on the tree. Thee. So I'd set about however necessary to take over the United States. I'd subvert the churches first. I'd begin with a campaign of whispers. With the wisdom of a serpent, I would whisper to you as I whispered to Eve. Do as you please. To the young, I would whisper that the Bible is a myth. I would convince them that man created God instead of the other way around. I would confide that what's bad is good and what's good is square. And the old I would teach to pray after me, our Father, which art in Washington. And then I'd get organized. I'd educate authors in how to make lurid literature exciting so that anything else would appear dull and uninteresting. I'd threaten TV with dirtier movies and vice versa. I'd peddle narcotics to whom I could. I'd sell alcohol to ladies and gentlemen of distinction. I'd tranquilize the rest with pills. If I were the devil, I'd soon have families at war with themselves, churches at war with themselves, and nations at war with themselves, until each in its turn was consumed. And with promises of higher ratings, I'd have mesmerizing media fanning the flames. If I were the devil, I would encourage schools to refine young intellects, but neglect to discipline emotions. Just let those run wild. Until before you knew it, you'd have to have drug-sniffing dogs and metal detectors at every schoolhouse door. Within a decade, I'd have prisons overflowing. I'd have judges promoting pornography. Soon I could evict God from the courthouse, then from the schoolhouse, and then from the houses of Congress. And in his own churches, I would substitute psychology for religion and deify science. I would lure priests and pastors into misusing boys and girls and church money. If I were the devil, I'd make the symbol of Easter an egg and the symbol of Christmas a bottle. If I were the devil, I'd take from those who have and give to those who wanted until I had killed the incentive of the ambitious. And what'll you bet? I couldn't get whole states to promote gambling as the way to get rich. I would caution against extremes in hard work, in patriotism, in moral conduct. I would convince the young that marriage is old-fashioned, that swinging is more fun, that what you see on TV is the way to be. And thus I could undress you in public, and I could lure you into bed with diseases for which there is no cure. In other words, if I were the devil, I'd just keep right on doing what he's doing. Paul Harvey.
It was that ant that stood up to me.
Yeah, but we can forget about him.
Yeah, it was just one ant.
Ooh.
One ant.
Yeah, you're right. It's just one ant.
Yeah, boss, they're puny.
Puny? Say, let's pretend this brain is a puny little ant.
Did that hurt?
Nope.
Well, how about this one?
Are you kidding?
Well, how about this?
You let one ant stand up to us, then they all might stand up.
Those puny little ants outnumber us 100 to 1. And if they ever figure that out, there goes our way of life.
It's not about food. It's about keeping those ants in line. That's why we're going back.
Does anybody else want to stay?
Okay, and we're back, folks. You're listening to the Knights of the Round Table, hopefully. Apparently we got nuked, man. Someone might not like what we were saying, and I seen the comment there. Oh, I didn't push no red button there. I wouldn't have my hands on anything. We were just sitting there having a conversation, and bam, suddenly the bomb dropped, the foot, the boot, whatever. We got the cosmic boot, man. It was bad. So anyway, while we were waiting to get everything back up and running again, which is a task if you've never ran a radio show, to get everything back in line, make sure that everything's squared away. It's a little more work than you can imagine, but nonetheless, we're back. So you're listening to the Knights of the Round Table at www.shazizradio.com. And we'll have two halves of a podcast merged into one, and we'll upload that later so you can hear the point at whatever we were saying at that point was probably what we probably shouldn't have been saying. So, what do you think, Barbara?
Well, I'm just popping right now. I'm popping into one of the chats on your show. I'm not on your main chat. I don't know why, but I'm on one of them. So this link, I'm just saying everyone might want to check out this link above. This is the, let me get back to you guys. This is the, hold on. It's called, where is it? I lost it now. It's 4chan Anon. And Patty and I have been going down the rabbit hole, as we often like to do, with this stuff. And it's really quite amazing and stunning what's happening, because as we know, we see the Podestas being arrested, we see disclosures coming on, we see what's going on in Hollywood, we see the pedophilia. This is all connected to, well, what this 4chan Anon says is to Trump. clearing things out, or if you want to say clearing, you know, clearing the swamp, which he promised to do, but everybody had an imagination of what that was going to be. But it may be this, in fact. So, Patty, are you there?
Yes, I am here.
So do you want to start out on this about what we've been... I want to say I personally have been on the fence. I've been just observing these links. I've been reading a lot and about what's being disclosed. Some people are thinking or saying that it may be someone very close to Trump or either Trump himself. So let's go from there.
Okay. Well, the first I think that we heard from, he says that his name is Q and he's on the 4chan. I don't know if people are familiar with that, but it's a site where a lot of memes are produced that you see put out by Anonymous and other people on what is happening. Sometimes, now I will give this disclaimer that a lot of times you have people that are putting out bad information, right, on this channel. So, just saying, putting that in there. But anyway, this person who has signed on to 4chan as Q has done so and represented this, the reason why his name is Q, as in Q clearance, right? Okay? So Q clearance, from what I understand, is a part of the energy department, and it's a clearance that is very high level. This person is portraying himself as this, having this type of clearance. His first posts were on the 31st of October. Now, the first time I saw this, I thought, you know, okay, so we got trick or treat, because this is something that would be familiar on 4chan, somebody playing pranks or whatever. So I just first started into it thinking, okay, I'm gonna debunk this, right? That this is just some kind of LARP. And so I started following it. The problem being is that this person knew information and names and dates to the point of he came out, or she came out, and stated that on I think it was November 3rd that Podesta, the indictments would be released on Podesta, and that he would be arrested. Well, sure enough, it happened, right? Then there were other things that he stated in these posts, which he did on the 1st, the 2nd, the 3rd, the 4th, the 5th, I think all the way to the 7th. And even beyond that, where he was posting information, sensitive information, that was proven out on the dates that he said it would be proven out. He also started giving information on instances that were happening, filling in the blanks. One of these was with North Korea. Now, we've known about North Korea over the years. North Korea will rise up out of the obscurity whenever a president is in office, and will suddenly start throwing stones, right? And instigating saying these different types of agitating things against the U.S. And I've always wondered, you know, how come they rise up at these times and then they just go away and nobody hears about them forever, and then they'll rise up again. If you notice, if you followed over the years, you'll notice that this happens with North Korea. Well, from what Q says and what we can intimidate from that, the people who are in charge of North Korea, which is not Sung-young or his son, is the CIA. So if the CIA, which is a rogue government, they don't, for people who don't know, the CIA has no compulsion to the president, to our government, or anything like they are a total separate entity that has its own rules, its own laws, and its own covert system set up. It's like a deep state, and it works on its own. So if they're controlling North Korea, which there is evidence that shows that CIA does have a big influence in North Korea, then we can see that the reason why North Korea rose up at the time that Trump was in office was to deliberately cast Trump in this light of the warmonger. But then again, we have Trump who jumped right to it. His personality might be a part of that. Maybe it's something else. I don't know. But these are things that, Q was intimating towards the people. And he was also stating, he stated before the China trip, when Trump was on his way to China, as I talked about while we were waiting for Shaziz to come back, there were photographs that were taken that showed from Air Force One the city in China where Trump was getting ready to land. Now, the only way that he could probably, yes, it is an ultimate trolling site. But again, Steve, the things that Q has been posting have been panning out, and he's been giving this information before these actions take place. So this is the reason why so many people are following him right now, and or her. And like I said, me and Barb are still on the fence with this. And it could be a CIA operative that is doing this. We don't know. There's a lot of shills. There's a lot of LARPing that goes on 4 Channel. But anyway, we have two pictures that were taken that show the city where Trump was actually landing. And Q stated what would come out of these meetings, and he was right. So he says that there is a movement that Trump is supposedly fighting this deep state, and that the Marines, which are the only branch of the military that Trump has command over without Congress approval, that the Marines are with him. He also stated the fact, you know, when Trump's son fired his Secret Service people, and he hired his own protection. They were ex-Marines. So Trump has surrounded himself, and his family has surrounded himself, not with the Secret Service, but with Marines. Also, he stated that in the White House, the reason why they had this renovation going on in these rooms were to get rid of the bugs, to get rid of the listening devices and things like this, which would make sense to me. But anyway, I'll wind it up here because I know I could go on and on and on. The thing of it is we've been following this for quite some time, and it could be real. It could not be real. The only thing that we can go by is to know that the things that this Q is putting out have been being proven out, and that he's been giving this information and telling us, giving us dates and names as to when these things would occur. And so far, he's been proven out. So is it a LARP? Is this maybe CIA? We don't know, you know. But I agree, Steve is right. 4 Channel is the ultimate trolling site. And they love to put out this misinformation. So here we are.
A lot of people that are looking at this, there's many sites now, many links that people are pulling up QAnon's statements, and there's tons of questions. The way he's giving this information is there's lists of questions. Why did this happen? Why is this important? What does this mean? And then he'll connect things. It's like this big puzzle, which of course there is a big puzzle. There's many tentacles, and when you're looking at this, It's like everything across the board that we know is involved in this big puzzle and in this big tentacle thing. And the takedown of these pedophilias and the corruption, and not only in Hollywood, he's put this together with Huma, with Clinton, with Podesta, and so on and so forth, and all these possible upcoming arrests that are now on hold, or they're being noted. What do you call that, Patty? They have these arrest...
sealed indictments.
Sealed indictments. There's a ton of sealed indictments, and people are backing out of the government. Government people, political people are saying, well, I'm not going to run anymore.
Said this would happen.
And he said this would happen. People are dropping out like flies, and so he's pointing to that. Why? So there's disclosure happening here, supposedly. I'm on the fence because it almost feels too good to be true. And then a lot of other people are saying that. This feels too good to be true. And my question is, if this is true, if they are taking down all this dark stuff, okay, they're mainly focusing on the Democrats. And my thing is, okay, well, the Republicans are pretty much similar, the same thing. So that's one question I have. Why only the Democrats?
It's not just the Democrats. There's been Republicans who are saying they're not re-upping
yes,
for office.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. That's true, but that's something that we see happening. But they're focusing on, basically, on all their reports here on the Democrats. Is
right.
How I see it. So my question is, okay, if this is true, if Trump or whomever is working with him to achieve this taking down of all the dirty dozens. Right, on every avenue, the Hollywood thing, the pedophilia thing, Pizzagate thing, the political mess, the financials, all this, if this is true, well, what's going to come? Who's setting this up, and who are they, and why are they doing it? What is
and supposedly, it's one aspect of a deep state that's
yes.
split, and they're vying for control.
Well, that's right. What now, the Pope... Trump just went to the Pope and in Saudi Arabia and spoke with people there and the Pope and the Vatican about combining three religions. What is that? My question
yeah.
is, does this point to one world religion? Does what they're doing as far as throwing all these people out, throwing them to the wolves, the dogs, or incarcerating them and taking everything down, is this pointing to one world order? I don't know. That's my question.
Well, and we have this thing about, okay, they've made sure that we know that, and if you're hearing cats in the background, my granddaughter is playing, what's this thing? Minecraft. And there are kitties she's created. About 100 kitties that follow her around. So it's not that we have that many cats, although we do have cats, but I'm just saying. But anyway, the thing that we need to look at also is that they've expended a lot of energy to tell us how bad the world is, how corrupt every government, every institution is. They've spared no expense on throwing out the information that will prove to us how bad and corrupt this world is. Also, they have attacked the UN for being corrupt, and we have this other thing that's playing off on the side that was telling us that, well, the UN is moving towards a one world government, so we all know the UN's the bad guy, so we can't have the UN leading us into this new world order, because that's a bad guy. All of a sudden, we have a hero that's cropped up, and this hero is against the UN, he's against all the corruption, and he's going to take us in to a new world order.
I have one more thing, because what's happening to the arrests in Saudi Arabia of all these princes, this whole thing too is part of this, by the way.
Well,
yes, Q did state that too and tell us that would happen, and it did happen.
You know what I'm thinking about while I'm hearing all this stuff right here? We talk about 6 mile tall trees and the question why about a whole bunch of different subjects. But one thing that just keeps pounding in my mind is the biblical reference of the literal antichrist coming to profess peace and then turns around
That's
and
right.
you get just the opposite.
I went there too. I said the same thing. This will be the Savior. That instead, what it says is the Antichrist will appear as the Savior to make everything all better.
Yep, he will talk of peace. He will perform works of wonders.
And he has.
And millions will be deceived.
Holy
and
smokes.
Henceforth comes the new world order.
Wow.
The rise of the Antichrist. It's heavy. Whatever's going on right now, Barb, is heavy.
You gotta put your thinking caps on. Don't drop off the fence to one side or the other. Keep your thinking caps on. Keep observing.
Yep, stay
keep yourself
outside
alert.
The box.
Get your foundation, your spiritual foundation strong, is what I say. Get right with your Creator, because it's gonna hit the fan.
Well, you know, if you move in the herd from one pasture to another, and you got this one little group that are sitting there saying, I ain't falling for this. So you try to run them through there, and they're not going. They're staying back. They're running crazy. It's too much to have to go out and chase all them dang cows. Well, what you got to do is you got to make them think that there's a reason that they need to go there. They have to decide that that's the way they want to go. So you make it appealing to them. Now, they know that something's wrong in that pasture right there. So what are you going to do? You make it to where, okay, you can see that bad is there, but look at this good over here. Nothing's happening over here. This is the good spot. This is where all that grass is. Look at all that hay. You know, drop that feed right there in that corner over there. So they see the herd over on the other side, and they see all that good stuff over here in this corner. So what are they going to do? They're going to go to that one corner. Well, they're still in the same freaking pasture then. Right?
I'm thinking,
so that's what they're doing with the herd today.
I'm going to throw a wrench in the works here. I'm going to say, remember this prophecy of the Antichrist. The Antichrist will come and fool everybody. Make sure you're on alert. Now, this is about energy. This is about your own sensing of truth. Okay? So you will be shown miracles and blah, 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 and the Antichrist will give you all this stuff and everybody will go, we're saved. But that's going to be the Antichrist, is it? The question is, it's not about what we see happening. It is about what we discern with our sensory experience, because the light has a different frequency. The dark, evil, has an entirely different frequency. So this is where you have to pay attention, because one rabbi, I think it was, I don't know, it doesn't matter, said, will we be fooled into thinking that, in fact, what appears is the Antichrist and turn our backs? But will it, in fact, be the Messiah or God or Jesus or whomever? So
right.
this is an important piece to pay attention to. And the answer that I came up with, because the question was from this rabbi, how will we know? How will we know? Because miracles will be being performed. All right? And so how will we know? I only came to the conclusion of it's about frequency, the frequency of light and love that Creator would send, or the frequency of evil and darkness, which is a whole other feeling altogether. So it's not about what you're going to see that will help you discern, is this really true, the Messiah, the return, or is this the Antichrist? It will be to your heart.
Yeah.
Well, and another discernment I want to put out there too, is that, okay, we're talking about biblical and the prophecies and everything. You don't have to have a belief in the Creator to be able to discern that the people who are behind this want you to think there is, okay? So if you're not religious, if you don't have a faith, that doesn't detract at all from the play that's being played out before you. The discernment comes from the point where you say, okay, is there a good new world order? Is there a good aspect to taking away your inherent rights of freedom, of liberty, of being able to speak your mind, of being able to live in a healthy environment, of being able to raise your children without fear. This is your discernment here. Is what is happening right now going to change that? Or is it just changing the players who stand at the top? So here's where my discernment comes. I don't have to have this faith in my Creator, which I do, but I don't have to have this faith in order to discern that they are moving us into the same pasture.
That's right.
Making it look a little better. Just saying.
I agree, and I think that, again, I'm going to say, go back to your own heart. The wisdom lies within you. Don't listen to people that say, oh, no, this is a good thing. Look at what all the miracles. Look at the good things. You have to rely upon yourselves, I feel. Yeah, you don't have to believe in a creator. This is not fully really about that. It's about the light, the dark, the good, the evil, because this is something at work here that is really powerful, and it is happening. And, you know, I'm just saying, just be alert and be in your heart spirit. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, and to that, I got a point, but first I got to say, I don't know what's going on with my Skype, but I'm completely locked out of it. I can't click on anything, so I can't add Steve to the call. One of the things that just keeps prying on my mind is George Soros has spent a lot of times destabilizing nations, and you know, on top of all the having to be discerning on you know, biblical reference and what's really going on in the world and such, we also have to be kind of cautious as to whether or not a lot of this is being done kind of like, you know, the destabilization process where you send instigators in to get both sides fighting against each other to literally bring about a civil war. There were some videos out there that actually there's a movie out there where these men in this movie were actually talking about literally bringing about the apocalypse. I mean, they literally wanted to bring doomsday in order to force a reset, if you understand what I'm trying to say here. And so, with that said, and all of us being on seeking the truth of everything out there, trying to get a grip on what's going on in our reality and the world in general, I would say we even have to be cautious as to what's going on with our government, because if you take the time to go watch this video series called Jericho, to me that was probably by far the most disturbing movie that I've ever seen. It's a video series, and basically what it was North Korea was supposedly, they got blamed for nuking some major cities in the U.S., and then country was basically broke up into, I think they said they had like 9 different presidents, you know, the different sections, and it was a big civil war that went on, and then one side basically ends up getting the power back, and it's supposed to be like the original government, but it turned out it wasn't. And in the video series, there's a part where they started issuing new school books, and the new school books, the history in the school books had changed, and basically it was turning out to be what we're talking about, essentially a one world government. So, you know, it's going to be so easy for the majority of this world to get blindsided and think that they're actually witnessing a miracle, so to speak, when in fact it may very well be the biblical Antichrist or the one world government sneak attack takeover kind of thing. Does any of what I'm saying make any sense to you guys?
Yeah, it does to me. I think it's really important to question this. And I do say that Anand said on that 4Q said that they're going incrementally here, if I'm not sure paraphrasing this, Patty, because it would be bring riots into the streets.
Yeah. I mean, if you jump over there to YouTube and look on some of the recommended deals on the channel there, There was deals talking about Antifa making chemical and biological weapons basically to terrorize people, you know, and all these different supposed school shootings or mass shootings that are going on out here that we're being told about by the media, you know, the fear factor kind of thing. Get everybody to think that getting rid of your guns is going to be the answer, and then you got a government that can just walk right on in and do whatever it is that they want to do, and the people can't, you know, you can't fight back if you got sticks and stones and pitchforks against machine guns and tanks and, you know.
Well, that would bring on martial law,
yeah,
which I think they want to put in place, and this is all part of that. I mean, we can't ignore that.
So
they just have to be able to justify it to the public, partner, and there's many things they can do to implement martial law.
You have Steve happens, with us.
When that happens, that really changes the story. Go ahead. He's here.
How you doing, Steve?
Bonjour.
How's life on your side of the rock?
I'm not French, but it's good to know you're a true enemy.
Well, we're trying to find out where our true enemy stands because, you know, in reality, it don't matter what part of this world you come from, I don't honestly believe you got the truth. I don't believe that they've been on the up and up, so to speak, about the world's history and stuff like that. So, basically, what we're asking is the question, why? Why would somebody want to convince you of anything, for that matter? You see what I mean?
She's this. The truth, or why, is the most obnoxious question you can ever ask somebody that's trying to hide something.
Well, my grandchildren, they ask me why about everything under the sun. Grandpa, why is the sun blue, or the sky blue? Why is this? Why is that? Why is that? And they can go on forever asking why. Get some
try that with a politician.
Yeah. Politicians have rubber stamp answers they'll just give you. Hey, we got this. Well, you can always trust your government, but the question is, if you get to the point where you can't even trust your doggone government, and you can't even trust any of the forms of media sources, and even the alternative media kind of scares me sometimes because of some of the directions that they want to try to take people in. We're living in a world of chaos, man. It's getting kind of hectic.
Pretty much.
So,
how you guys doing anyway? Are you all good?
I think we're for the most part good. We're just Carbon trying to make hacking. The rest of the world at least as good as we are. Dang. Choked myself up.
Well, I'm doing good, and as I said, I'm the observer. I'm the witness. I feel that I'm not, I'm just open to all sides here because I'm curious and I'm a witness. I want to witness and I'm not making any judgments. I'm not jumping over the fence. I'm keeping my focus on what I'm doing in my life, what I feel that I've been agreed to do to come here. I'm not getting hysterical. I'm not in fear. I'm not spinning. You know, I'm just observing extraordinary things going on, and I'm also speaking about, is it too good to be true? When I get that feeling, is it too good to be true, I have to pay attention to that. You know, I have to pay attention to that. I'm not a fool. I mean, I don't know if I'm living in a dream. I won't know that until the end. But I do believe that we are co-creators creating our reality, and there are people who are manipulating our reality, and I'm just observing it all. So I feel really good.
Well, and that's kind of something that I kind of seem to have been getting myself into trouble a lot here lately, because there's a deal going on out there, whether it's a distraction or whatever, you know, there's a flat earth and round earth separation out there where people are arguing over whatever, and I'm looking at the big picture. I said I couldn't care less what shape the earth is. What I care about right now is what shape the earth is in. That's the big thing, because we have to live here, and our grandchildren and their children, they're going to inherit whatever mess we leave behind. And so if you care about anything, you know, if you got any kind of concern and want to try to be a caretaker of the world and do things and be a witness to truth, then you really got to pay attention to what's going on out here. It's as simple as that, you know. I believe we need to work in harmony with nature. I believe we need to, work together with each other and nature in order to make this world a better place. And in the state of affairs that we find ourselves in, there are forces out there, whether you want to call them forces of darkness or not, or good and evil, or however you want to explain it, but there are obvious forces out there that are trying to keep us divided. They're trying to keep us in fear. They're trying to keep us under control. And there are a group of individuals that find themselves here at this round table and probably the other ones out there that are saying, you know, maybe you might want to slow down before you go into that cave with the wolf. You know, kind of pay attention first, if you understand what I'm saying.
Barb had to leave us, so I love you, Barb, and thanks so much for stepping on here with me. But, you know, as far as the, like you were saying, Shaziz, with the flat earth theory and all these other things that are coming out, I asked, you know, what difference would it make if the earth was flat? And they'd say, well, it would prove that we're under control of something.
Yeah, well,
earth is round or flat. I think we realize that we are under the control of something else, you know.
Would the giants be the same? Would the giants be the same if we had evidence that giants existed? I mean, because in the biblical reference, there's actually giants talked about in there. And in a lot of cultures, there's actually giants talked about it. So would that be another proof towards some sort of higher power?
Where did Goliath come from?
Yeah.
And he was what?
Almost
10 feet tall. Me, I'm low?
Yeah, you're low.
Okay, how's that?
That's better.
Okay. Helps if I take the microphone and move it back in front of my mouth.
10 feet tall is a pretty big dude.
Well, that's a pretty big guy, man.
I wouldn't want to tangle with him. Yeah.
I live in the Philippines. Most people don't come up to my chin, and I'm only 5'8".
Man, so do you feel like a giant in that land?
Yeah. It's cool.
How do you find the government down there, Steve? He's pretty pretty brutal dude, man, from what I understand.
Well, what's the difference between extrajudicial killing and resisting arrest? It's a bunch of soapy liberals with an opinion on a place they've never been, they've no interest in, but they just like virtual signaling.
Well, I'm just going by what I've heard about the Philippines. I know a lady that lives down there, and I talked to her quite a bit about the going-ons down there. So,
well, believe me, the political corruption here is rife. There's a guy trying to shut it down. He told the UN to go F themselves. He told the Obama, he was a SOB. You know, don't come to my country and tell me what to do, because this is a sovereign nation, and I'm not your dog.
Well,
so, think of it that way.
Yeah, if we take a look around the world, it seems like just about every single society out there and cultures are clashing. And once again, folks, I'm not trying to force my ideas or beliefs down anybody's throat, but it did say something about wars and rumors of wars and plagues and famines and pestilence and all that kind of stuff. And I'm asking the question, what are we going to do about it? You know, why is all this stuff happening? You know, why do when the majority of the people outnumber the elite by the millions, why do they allow themselves to
billions?
Why do they allow themselves to be controlled and tormented by some sick individuals who live under a whole different law than we the people have? You know, there's not one of us sitting at this table that could get by with a fraction of what these so-called leaders have been getting by with. And these groups like out there at 4chan, this Anon guy that, or gal, whichever is putting this information out there, is basically hitting a nerve with a lot of the average Joes talking about, you know, things that are arrests that are coming down that are probably well overdue and stuff like that. And whether it's a trolling deal or a joke or just whatever, it's still resonating with the average Joe out there, because the average Joe is fed up with getting beat toothless and thrown in jail and fined and all that kind of stuff while sitting by watching the elite get by with literal murder.
The only thing that worries me about this Q is that in the back of my mind, constantly, while I've been watching this, and I have been watching it since his very first post, is that I see nothing different in the end run. I see the same movement toward the same agenda, just in a milder, more tolerable fashion. And if we look throughout history, and we look at how the manipulation of this agenda has been played out, civilization after civilization after civilization, there has always been. And it's the same we see in the countries that are taking down now. They go into a country and they put out the misinformation. They say, these are bad guys, these are bad guys, we have to take them out. And they go and they take out these sovereign leaders and they implant puppets who bring that country into this agenda full force.
Yep.
So what I'm seeing is the propensity of this deep state, whatever you want to call it, that is not just in the United States, it's prevalent throughout the whole global hierarchy, that I see this being played as simply, okay, there's too many people aware, there's too many people awake, people are catching on, how do we move them? Oh, that's right, let's pull out agenda play number two, and we'll make them think that everything will be hunky-dory because the good guys are here and they're going to fix things for us. So in order to do that, let's give them some of what they want. And if we look and we see, yes, there's an attack on pedophilia. I mean, there's been arrests like crazy. Who's been to court yet?
Yeah.
Who's been tried? Who's been indicted yet? And at the same time, we have leaders stepping up to the podium and decreasing the age of a child for marriage, decreasing and making light and saying things like pedophilia does no harm to children. All of these things that we're seeing being played out, they're normalizing on one hand, and they're supposedly going after them on the other hand. So I see the same thing being played out. Is anybody else seeing
this?
Well,
there's one thing that I want to point out here is the best way to get people to do things is to make them believe it's their own doggone idea. You know? All these different agendas out here, whatever rights that you want to talk about, that people fighting for social justice or whatever, you know, tugging on heartstrings and making things sound like they're important. Like, for example, and I'll probably make a few people mad by saying this, but when it comes down to abortion, you know, people say, well, the reason why we want this to be legal is in case the mother is in danger, we have to save her life, and it may be a necessary deal that we end the child in order to keep the mother alive. Well, anybody who cares about people would say, well, that sounds reasonable. Maybe we could make an exception in that deal. But it makes it, like you were saying earlier, it normalizes something that would otherwise be considered, wrong to most people. You take a life. You see what I mean?
Why is it if you shoot a pregnant woman, you get charged with two homicides? But if a pregnant woman chooses to terminate that life, it's fine.
Well, and
can I just jump in there?
Yeah.
I've visited 46 countries in the last 25 years. I've lived in 5 different countries on 3 different continents. And what it comes down to is most places you go, most people are pretty decent.
Yeah.
With this ruling elite, that if they were a bag of puppies in a redneck township, they'd be stuck in a trash bag and thrown off a river because they're inbred.
Huh.
Seriously.
Well,
there is a group of people in this world that control things. That love to virtual signal, they like to say, oh, yeah. All this spout and nonsense.
What?
Word of it. But they expect us to vote for them.
Well,
what it comes down to is the majority of the people in the world are decent people, but they just keep voting the same people into power.
Yeah.
Because they've been taught. They've been conditioned.
That
leadership
to do that.
Is important. Authority is important.
Yeah.
You are superior.
Prime Minister.
Well,
you own the world. People are beneath you.
And as far as I'm concerned, basically the ones in the power structure that have access to all the powerful media sources and all that are convincing people that up is down and down is up, vice versa. And with the history being written the way that it is, you know, it's really hard to find any kind of truth in this world. You see what I'm saying?
The most ingenious creation that has ever been created for this manipulation is the monetary systems.
Yeah.
I mean, that is what controls the people.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yep.
And the eight families own half the planet's wealth. They control our banking systems. That everything they want to do, they will do. There's nothing we can do monetarily to stop them. And that kind of brings up an interesting subject, guys. You know, when we talk about collapse of economies, we talk about collapse of the world, we talk about the collapse of things as we know them now, it can all be done through financial mechanisms. And the ruling elite, they control all the money on this planet. And one of the things that I think about a lot, and I really reflect on a lot, is how they can bring in a complete control of society. And they can do it through our monetary system simply by collapsing our dollar. So I say, you know, be prepared for that. Kind of be aware that this is one of the things that they plan on doing, that collapsing the dollar will bring complete chaos into society.
But
and
that,
society will basically do whatever it takes to get rid of that chaos.
You're right, but that still brings me back to the same doggone question. In the movie, The Bug's Life, that grasshopper was telling the other grasshoppers that the ants outnumber them 100 to 1, and once they figure that out, then their way of life is all gone. And my question is, to the people of humanity, is why? Why would you sit by knowing that these people had that potential power of an axe or a guillotine or whatever over the top of your heads as human race, as brothers and sisters around the world? Why would you not recognize that you and your brothers and your sisters around the world are the majority? And if you ever decided to utilize the true power of the human race and the goodness that you heard Steve a minute ago, he just said he's been around the world and he sees good people everywhere he goes. I see good people everywhere I go. Barry sees good people everywhere to go. We all see good people. We see a lot of distracted people. We see a lot of people whose morality really seriously needs some work. But nonetheless, for the most part, the majority of all the people in the world aren't the scumbags that you read about in the newspaper or see on the news or even hear about in alternative media. So why are billions of people standing idly by, allowing a few dots to basically tell them, you do what we say or we'll sick our army of your people on you?
Here?
Yeah.
It's kind of simple, she says. Most people in the world are decent people. They're not violent, they're not aggressive, they don't... All they care about is feeding the kids and getting a decent education.
Yeah.
And they're in fear. What... You know, I've talked to people many a time because I believe that this monetary system is the biggest boon to this agenda. And that if we could ever move away from it, that it would lose its ability to manipulate. But people tell me all the time when I try to talk about this that, There's no way. How would we feed our people? How would we, you know, be able to afford our houses? They can't get past that concept of having to have this artificial means of existence. It's like the worth of humanity has been replaced from self-responsibility into this system of worth through the dollar or worth through a monetary system. So they're in fear. If you tell somebody, if you go next door to your neighbor and you knock on the door and you say, hey, this is what we got to do. You got to stop working for this corporation. You've got to join with these other people. You've got to create this different system of living that takes us back to self-worth and that puts the onus and responsibility on you and your community. People will shut that door in your face because it's so much easier just to go to this factory and work your 8 to 12 hours a day, get your paycheck and hope you can make your rent, than it is to say, no, I gotta live without that. I don't need that. People cannot conceive this because it's been part of us since how long?
Well, you hit on a major key point, because I'm gonna introduce the prison system for a second, because I've actually known folks that went to prison, that got out of prison, could have bettered their life, but it was so much easier because they got used to being, you know, three hots in a cot in prison, that they literally went out and got themselves in trouble so they could get back into jail so they wouldn't have to try to work hard. So essentially that's what the people of the world are doing. They know the government's the jailer. And instead of them saying, well, you know, we might actually have to work at farming and learn a few things, and it's going to be a lot of effort in order to go around the system because we don't like it anymore. But they don't want to do that because it's easier to have the government do for you than to do for yourself.
Huh. Funny, you said about jail there. She says, I was in jail when I was young, and I met old guys in jail that said exactly what you said. They were institutionalized to the point where they could not function in society anymore. So as soon as they were released, they go out and do something to get themselves back into jail again. Well, and that was their life.
You look at the average Joe out there, I bet you can count on one hand at least 4 out of 5 people you know that are self-medicated because of society and the shape of the state of affairs that it's in, that they're either on some sort of antidepressants or, you know, coffee and cigarettes, alcohol or drugs or whatever, and maybe 1 out of 5 that you can count on your hands might be trying to live a clean, healthy life and trying to, do the right thing in the world. It's not to say that those other 4 people aren't good people. They're just so, what's that word you used earlier, institutionalized?
Mm-hmm.
And it's so painful for them to try to cope with society in the way that it is that they got to find some sort of release. Does that make any sense?
Well, I agree. Well, you know, look at the numbers of people in the United States right now that are on psychotropics and antidepressants. She says the numbers are absolutely mind-boggling.
Yeah.
So, yeah,
Harry.
Yes, sir.
I spent 4 years on antidepressants.
Hmm.
It nearly destroyed my life.
You're not alone, Steve. I know people.
I know.
I know people personally that are going through withdrawals right now on psychotropics. One girl, got family, and she's been on antidepressants for about, almost 2 years. And she says, it's the worst thing that she's ever gone through in her life. So we're helping her with some cannabis oil on a regular basis. And that seems to alleviating a lot of the mental torture she's going through. But psychotropics, boy, when people start looking into this and really what it does to the human brain, the government should be shot for even putting them on the market. But,
well, I would point something out with that said.
Well, we could talk about Ritalin, too. We could talk about all kinds of drugs that are on the market.
Yeah.
Everything they do is destructive to the human brain.
With that being said, I want to point something out so that people can recognize something that's a portion of what's going on here. The alcohol industry, multi-billion-dollar industry. keep people drunk, and you just make out like a bandit. The cigarettes, the drug industry, even the food industry make your junk food taste so doggone good that people become addicted to it. Put a lot of caffeine or nicotine in a product, and bam, you're gonna sell the heck out of that stuff. And people, if they keep you on drugs, they get rich. If they keep you sick, they get rich. If they keep you mad at each other, they get rich. They keep you fighting at war, and wars are profitable. And this is how the doggone system, those folks that are in the know and in the power structure, this is why. This is the answer to the question why it is that we don't know whether or not there was a 6 mile tall tree one time in our history. Because by God, if we did know that there was definitely, without a doubt, a 6 mile tall tree and a man large enough to cut it down, then I tell you what, that would add some questions to the science book that science could not answer. And there's only one other possible explanation for that, that there's something going on that we ain't been told about, that the system is trying to keep us away from, in order to not realize who we are, where we came from, and what our true purpose or power here on this planet, wherever it is that we are. That's as simple as that. That's the answer to the why. Why it is that somebody would want to tell us that history was different than it was. Why it is that people would want to keep control over us. It all boils down to, if you're the king and you need money to run your kingdom, well, guess what? You're going to do whatever it is that it takes to get the money. And if you can keep your people sick and they keep buying your product and so on and so forth, then you're going to stay at the top.
Losing you again, she says.
Well, that stinks. I'm still here. Can you hear me now? Yeah.
Yeah, I'm hearing you just fine, Jesus.
All right. Well, I've been having all kinds of issues since we started this particular subject. So, you know, maybe it is that we're hitting on some nerves up in the upper echelon of
the fusion center. The fusion
center. Yeah.
Your host.
They don't like it when we talk like this, because you heard what the grasshopper and a bug's life said. When those people realize that they outnumber us 100 to 1, and our way of life is over. And maybe the veil is being lifted right now. Maybe we are the witnesses to see and to point it out to everybody. You need to look and you need to pay attention to what's going on, because regardless of what your faith is, we're heading down a path that's going to get real bumpy. And if the people don't get their act together, we're going to watch our world continue to deteriorate. We're going to watch more wars and rumors of wars, and eventually somebody's going to jump on the scene and say, hey, look, I got the solution to the problem, and you follow me. What do you think?
One more time, and I'm going to make you get off.
You're here.
Yeah.
I think the next couple of weeks is going to be a very interesting time in U.S. history. Which it is. I really do.
I don't doubt it, man.
I'm looking at what's going on with the whole house of cards around Hillary Clinton. You know, we talk about all the scandals that are happening in the United States of America. Well, every single one of them comes back to one lady. And, you know, there's just too much of right on her right now for them to put it back in the box. So where it's going to go here in the next couple of weeks, I'm going to say that it could be really good and it could be really bad, because you know what I know, when the elite get their backs put up against the wall, they're going to come out swinging.
Oh yeah, I'm going to do something dirty deeds.
I'm sure right now, Shaziz, that they have a plan in place for what's going to come down here in the next couple of weeks, with the indictments that are coming against Clinton and the foundation and everything else that's being exposed, Uranium One, all the scandals. Every scandal that is coming out right now is involved with the Clinton Foundation or Barack Obama. And when that house of cards falls down, buddy, there's going to be a lot of people that come down with it, and they're going to come out swinging.
Yeah.
So I just say,
what
be prepared.
Looking at.
Well, just let me finish this one thought, and I'll let you talk, Patty. But I don't think there's anything beyond the realm of anything possible that they will do when their backs are put up against the wall. And like I said, I think they've got a plan for this particular time. So just beware, folks. Stay outside the box is all I'm saying.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Patty.
Well, I think we should keep in mind also, if we look historically, the fall of civilizations follow the same exact agenda.
Yeah.
To where all of a sudden all the governments, not just the United States here today, but in the past, all the governments were to a point, an apex of corruption, where the people rose up, where there was dissension, where there was exactly what we're seeing now, and the civilization collapsed only to be rebuilt and moved on to the next phase. We need to keep this in mind also, that possibly what we're actually seeing right now with these governments and the collusion that's being shown and the corruption that's being shown and the dissension by the peoples rising up are part and parcel of agendas that have played out in all the collapses, including the economies and all these other things. We are in a time of high technological advancement as far as civilizations for us. So we're seeing it played out in a different aspect than in previous civilizations. But the agenda is still the same. The momentum is still the same. So I sit back here and I watch and I see that this may simply be the collapse of what we know as civilization, only to be rebuilt in another image of the same control. Just saying.
With that said, and I don't disagree with you whatsoever, but with that said, my advice to the good people of the world, humanity, the ones that really care, and the ones that really have goodness in their hearts, is if there was ever a time in history to gather together in masses to basically do battle against the evil that's coming upon us, now would be a good time to step up. Because you got good people in your neighborhood. You need to get to know those good people in your neighborhood. You need to get to know good people in other neighborhoods. You need allies. You need all your brothers and sisters around the world to know what side of the fence you're standing on, because if this all comes to a head, which it how could it not? You gotta be ready. You gotta be ready to feed your family if the money does collapse. You gotta be ready to take care of one another. You got to know that there are people out there who couldn't care less whether or not the world comes or goes, as long as they get theirs, and if all heck breaks loose, they're just gonna go around and take what they need. Folks, go watch the series Jericho, please. I'm begging you, just go watch it. Watch it from start to finish. Watch every single episode and imagine yourself living in that kind of scenario. And then also match up what you saw in that series with current affairs. North Korea, everything that the Anon guy was talking about, guy or gal, everything that we've been talking about, everything that you've heard in alternative media and even in the mainstream media, and tell me what it is about that particular video series that is so relevant to what Paul Harvey said back in 1965. There are people trying to ring the bell. They're trying to wake everybody and his brother up to some common sense, because they see that, we all want freedom. We all want peace and we all want love. There's a small minority that want control. They want the power, and they want it at our expense. They don't care who they have to step on to get it. So with that said, my advice to the world, if the good people of the world want to avoid the coming doom, so to speak, then it's time. It's past time to start gathering in masses with your brothers and sisters around the world. And I'm not talking about gearing up to go to war or anything like that. But, regardless of what you want to think about it, we are literally in a war. A war for our minds, a war for our souls, a war for our freedom. And if we're going to leave anything decent behind to our grandchildren and our grandchildren's children and so on, then who's better to do it than us right now? We're the only ones that can steer this boat in a different direction. Otherwise, we sit back with our institutionalized and our drug and our addictions and our reliance on the government taking care of us, Big Brother or Mama taking care of us, however you want to look at it. We sit back and we just go with the flow and let it ride and let the chips fall where they may. Yeah, go ahead, man.
You remember I told you I used to work in IT?
Yeah.
Well, 17 years ago when I worked in a cell phone company in Dublin, it was a switch over from the analog network to the digital network.
Yep.
And guess who came to visit Dublin in 2000?
Who's that?
Big Boy Billy himself.
Huh. Well, I did a video long time ago about that switch from analog to digital, and I told people, I said, you got to proceed with caution because now the game has changed. Analog TV, once it goes over the air, there's really nothing you can do with it. But with digital technology these days, you can make people look like they're standing in places where they've never even been. And if you don't know what to look for when you're looking at blue screen or green screen technology, you can be deceived. And if anything like Project Bluebeam is true, they could literally project a vision of God right there up in the atmosphere, and everybody around the world would see it and believe that, hey, look, there's aliens or there's God or whatever. We live in the age of deception, folks. And the folks... Yeah?
I identify as a Jedi. May the Force be with you.
Yeah. Well...
But let me carry on a little bit, because this is very interesting. This whole unsecured server for emails, I created their mobile numbers. Bill, Hillary, Chelsea, they demanded to be put on the analog network.
That ought to be a red flag.
The analog network in the day, somebody could go to Radio Shack with $50 and listen into their conversations. Why would you demand to have an unsecured communication tool when you're visiting a foreign nation? There wasn't a request, it was a demand. The whole network was pretty much shut down. We were migrating all of the accounts from analog to digital, but they demanded to be on the analog network.
Maybe because they didn't want a paper trail or digital trail.
Maybe. I gave my mother-in-law Bill Clinton's phone number and said, give him a call, ask him around for a cup of tea. She never did. But can you see my point? This whole business with unsecured communications is not a new story. It's at least 17 years old. And I know that for a fact because I created the numbers on the system.
Well, I'll tell you one thing's for sure. Digital world that we live in, it's pretty intelligent. It knows what you're getting ready to type in by the first couple letters you punch in. It knows what to advertise to you. It's crazy. I made a phone call about a doggone steel chainsaw, and I was looking for parts for it. And then I got online and I made another call, or not a call, but a search on eBay. And doggone it, that same day, I not only got a commercial on TV, but I got a commercial on the internet for same said chainsaw. And to me, that's kind of scary that something is sitting there watching me all the doggone time, cataloging everything that I do or say, and then, you know, basically manipulating me into, hey, look, you can get a bargain over here. You see what I mean? It's creepy. Google's creepy. Get on Google Earth.
I typed into a search engine the other night, man cave, and you know what the first thing that popped up was?
What?
A guy in a dodgy moustache with a hairstyle like Einstein with a Tesla call behind him.
Ha! Well, there you go.
These boys are clever.
Yeah. Well... Like I said, I never set out to get famous or rich or anything like that. Only purpose, my only agenda for doing this is I got family, I got grandchildren. I live in a world that I see could be such a wonderful place for everybody. And I've been told things since I was a kid that how terrible this world is, that there were people starving in this world, there were people suffering, there were people homeless, and knowing where I came from and wanting to basically have everybody else at least have the benefits that I've had, I keep doing what I do. I do the Knights of the Round Table and I do the Mad Science Show because science ain't doing the job. Science is basically throwing everybody under the bus. And our leadership basically done the same thing. And those who profess to want to, you know, clean up the environment and all that kind of jazz, the scales of justice are so incredibly off balance against we the people. And it just drives me insane. And I say that the only way that we're ever going to get any kind of results outside of divine intervention, because the task at hand is so incredibly large, so huge, massive, beyond measurement, is, when we the people finally realize, like that ant, or that those grasshoppers we're talking about, that ants, those ants, that when they realize that they outnumber us 100 to 1, our way of life is going to change. And so I'm hoping for that miracle to occur as opposed to all the other alternatives. I'm hoping that the people of the world, the good people of the world, will begin to gather in masses and they will do the right thing when it's time to do the right thing, which is now as far as I'm concerned. So what are your guys' thoughts?
You know what? Shaziz, do you know what I did today?
What?
You probably can't get into Skype, so you can't see the pictures I sent you. I spent an hour driving 16 miles. The traffic here is insane. I went to a Catholic convent and cooked a roast dinner. Roast beef, roast potatoes, Yorkshire puddings, string beans with carrots and gravy for 19 people.
Wow.
Some of them have never tasted beef before. Not outside McDonald's or Burger King or something like that. I mean, that's not beef. That's pink foam that's sprayed into a hot plate.
Well,
I mean, my very first years after leaving school, I trained as a chef. Now I have the opportunity to pretty much do whatever I want to. It cost me less than $2 a head to give the equivalent of a Thanksgiving dinner to people that can barely write. But there's a lot of good people in the world. I don't pretend to be one of them. I'm an obnoxious little git most of the time. But every now and again an opportunity comes your way where you can do something for somebody other than yourself.
Well, Steve, I know your heart. I've known you for quite a long time. I know you got a good heart, even though you may have your ornery side, which is, amusing at times. I know your heart, and I believe that's the reason why you do what you do. Can somebody check the Skype Knights of the Round Table? I can't, for some reason, Skype has got me locked out. I can't click on it with my mouse, and nothing's working there. See if somebody's trying to get in there.
I'm checking. It's Two Dog. I'm going to see if he wants to join. I just wanted to add also, the good news is that we do have an opportunity. They are going to collapse this system that we are under right now. We know this. We see it's happening. But we also know that there are a multitude, uncountable multitude of people who have researched and designed systems that can operate on a totally different plane of living. And so we have this opportunity. This system will collapse. It will go down. In that interim of the time that this system goes down and the time that we have before they construct the next, we have the opportunity of all these people, all these multitudes of people who have researched and have come up with these solutions. We have the ability now to make sure that we're the ones that step up into this void.
Yeah.
And we can reach out to these people and show them a better way, get them on the right track so that when they begin to rebuild this system their way, we will have already created a system that will do what we need to do.
Well, that's I see exactly what you're saying. I'm gonna say it in just a little bit different way. Is that here's the thing, folks. They're counting on a reaction whenever they do what they're going to do, all right? And how you react is going to make the difference of where we end up as far as, you know, if the society or the financial system collapses and you don't panic and you guys start working together, that's not the reaction that they're looking for. They're looking for the chaotic reaction where they have to send in military and police to get martial law. But just imagine, they collapse the system and everything goes on business as usual. That's going to surprise them. And that's not what they're expecting. They are not expecting for you to use common sense and to work together. They're expecting for you to panic and get mad because you can't get your paycheck and so you can't buy from the store or things aren't working. But then when the opposite happens and when the system collapses, you guys keep being neighbors and you keep doing what you do normally, and the system just gets blindsided by all the billions of good people in the world that they recognize, oh yeah, we watched them flip the lights off, but hey, look, old Shaziz over there got a power source, we'll use his idea and we'll turn the lights right back on. And that's how we get through this mess, by not allowing them the benefit of panicking whenever they pull the switch, so to speak. Does that make any sense?
Shaziz.
Yeah.
Less than 50 kilometers from where I live, on July the 6th, there was an 8.0 earthquake.
Man,
we had no power for 6 weeks.
That's a big one.
It's cool. I bought 22 325-watt solar panels.
But tell me, when that occurred and those 6 weeks was going on, did people start to come together and help each other out?
Believe me, they did.
Well, see, that's what I'm talking about. This is what they don't tell you, is that in worst case scenarios, if you pay attention, people from all over the place, people from different states will rush in there to feed those in need, send clothes and blankets and in such masses that they are, you got literally trucks and trucks and piles of clothes coming from all different directions, because those folks know that one day you might be the one sending them the stuff. And that's yeah.
Within 3 days, the local, where I'm living is the kind of the biggest city on the island. Within 3 days, they drove nearly 100 kilometers to the worst affected area with water bowls, food, just basic sanitary items, and gave them away.
Well, see? That's my point exactly. So, hi, Two Dog!
This is supposed to be a third world banana republic full of corruption, but the local business people got together, loaded a truck. I mean, this is not the first time we've done this. At least six times in the last year since we've been here. We've jumped on the back of a truck, driven into the middle of nowhere, into the mountains, and just given stuff away.
But you hit the key right there. The local people did it. It wasn't the government that rushed in there. Matter of fact, the people beat people to the people beat the government to Katrina when that was going on. People beat the government to Texas. People beat the government to every single catastrophic event that has occurred throughout history. It was the people that did it. It wasn't the governments of the world rushing in there with their FEMA trucks and all that. They didn't come in till later, and the moment they got there, they messed stuff up. That's what went on.
I have to honestly say, there's been a regime change here recently. When we went into the mountains, we had some heavily armed soldiers with us that were supplied by the government with their blessing.
Well, That's probably a good use for the military, is to make sure that the food gets to the intended target, you know? I would rather see militaries running around feeding the world and being caretakers than I would be seeing them out there killing one another.
They just wanted to make sure we could come back.
Yeah. So, Two Dog, are you there?
Yes, sir. I'm here. It's the kid.
How you doing, brother?
I'm doing real good. I'm going to give my hellos from the tribal office of the United Western Lenape Nation, and I'm honored to be with you today.
Well, send our love back to them.
Our love goes out to everyone as much as we can.
Well, sir, I'm living on the other side of the planet. Thank you very much for joining us.
Yeah. That's what we do here. We send our love out to folks.
Well, you know, the thing about it is, it's all what I, you know, my vision is coming true each day. You know, more flags are coming this in a few days, you know, a few months anyway that I know of. But, you know, the thing about it is, it's a political game also. But we gotta look past political game. I mean, my God, they are already people trying to help in Puerto Rico where the government ain't. We gotta look at, like I always used to say, you know, if someone's down, it ain't about color, it's about the human being. Put your hand out, pick them up.
Yep.
And I'm seeing a little bit more of that as I'm sitting with, matter of fact, Wiltshire was here on the 16th, I do believe, of May. So it's a thing about people. It's what it should be.
Well, I agree. And that's where the real power is. You know, the Constitution I keep talking about, regardless of what anybody thinks about it, it has three words at the top of it. It says, "We the people." And I keep mentioning the bug's life. The grasshoppers were sitting there telling the main grasshopper was telling all his army there, you know, and when those folks realize that they outnumber us 100-1, our way of life is over. And I'm thinking the elite are starting to feel that burn, if you understand what I'm saying, that they understand that the good people of the world, they're not going to fall for this craziness anymore. They're good people of the world are out here talking.
What?
They're doing radio shows. They're collecting flags from all nations like you're doing, and they're bringing people together. And that's probably one of the reasons why when we hit certain subjects, we usually end up having some internet issues.
So one of the things I would like to say, you know, just in case whoever sent this to me is listening, I want to thank you, whoever you are, for the state flag of Oklahoma. It's here, and it will be flying if I ever meet with anyone from there. So, you know, like in my language, ski very much. Thank you very much for Oklahoma.
Well, I'd like to see a flag from every single nation and every single state and whatever to in your yard. I'd love to see a picture of that, brother. Honestly. Because
you ought to see them when I got them. You know, I meet with people, so I got three poles up. You know, big tall. You know, I cut them myself. I did a prayer before I did, and let them know what they're going to be used for. But when the Eastern Band Cherokee came, and Wiltshire as well, you had all three flags flying at the same time in honor and respect, and it was a sweet thing. And Mexico, when we sat with them on the 21st, it was up. It's just a beautiful thing to see.
Well, that's what we want. We want people coming together, man. That's it. Not under some one world government or some one world religion, under an idea that, you know, together is what it's going to take to get results in this world. We can all sit here and shout out to all four points of the compass there, all the words of wisdom and knowledge and ideas and spread the love, but unless the people of this world decide to, help us and share that message as well, you know, we're just going to keep on doing what we do in hopes that one of these days those ripples will start a tsunami of love sending across this planet.
Ripples are starting, you know, Shaziz, the way I look at it. You know, there's been, and I'm just going to say it this way, there's been many messengers throughout history. We've had Wovoka. You know, there's been so many messengers out there. It's not about the messenger all the way. It's about did you get the message.
Yeah, and we're hoping people get the message. That's the key right there. Look, we started off asking the big question, why? You know, if I had a choice before I came here, I'd honestly tell you I would not have showed up on this planet. It's crazy down here. Unless there was some reason for me to, unless there was some reason for me to show up down here to try to help you out and you help me and we all learn together or make the world a better place. That's the only reason why I could think that I would, because if I had a choice, if I knew everything I knew now and they asked me, do you want to go down there to Earth and live and experience life? And I'm saying, what, you lost your doggone mind? Have you seen how them people treat each other? Why would I want to subject myself and my heart to that? You know? That's
because
what I'm saying.
This world needs people like you, Shaziz, and they need people like Two Dog and Barry and Steve and myself and Barbara and all the people out there who do believe in the goodness of people and in the power of love. That's why I would never not... I don't have any reason to be... You know, sometimes I joke and I say, I wish that the aliens would just come pick me up. But really... My life on this earth, being able to have walked and seen the beauty, being able to recognize the beauty even today is well worth it. And it's people like you that are the reason why there is still goodness in this earth. So without you, what would this earth be like, Shaziz? You know?
Well,
that's why you're here.
Earlier we mentioned about why it is that trees would have thorns on there. Nature put thorns on them trees to protect the trees. And so I'm kind of thinking of us kind of like thorns, man. We're here to protect the people. We're surrounding the people as the armor of our creators to literally be the thorn in the side of evil so that they can't, succeed in their agenda, if that makes any sense to you. I'd rather be a thorn in the side of evil than to sit back and allow evil to run roughshod over all the good people of the world. Some of those good people include my grandchildren. I love my grandchildren. Why would I want that system for my grandchildren? Yeah.
As a committed Jedi, I would have to say that thorns on trees are bringing balance to the Force.
Well, that's what I think. I think we're all here to balance out the battle between good and evil. I think we are the balance. I think we are the new messengers or prophets or whatever it is that you believe out there, folks. You got to spread the good words. You got to spread the love. You got to put hope out there, because without hope, without the light, you know, I said this before on another show, and it really makes a lot of sense, and I've actually heard other people repeat what I said, that you take one candle and you put it in the darkest cave, that one candle there will never allow the darkness to truly be darkness until that light goes out. And I'm saying, it's ironic, because I'm sitting here looking at Steve's got a candle right here on his picture. But it's amazing how that works.
This,
yeah.
I'm sorry, but you need to get back in the lab, because I can stitch a brown cloak, but the only lightsabers available are in Toys R Us, and they're going bankrupt.
Well, I think I know how to build a lightsaber.
Well, do it. Don't tell me about it. Do it.
So anyway, what I'm asking the people is, do something that you do whenever you're grieving or trying to honor somebody that has lost or fallen, where you folks go out there and you gather together on masses and you light a candle for those individuals. I say you light a candle for hope and justice and love in the world, and you be that light, that lighthouse on the end of the shore, next to the stormy seas that helps guide people to safety. That's what I believe our purpose is. That's why I'm so in love with the Knights of the Round Table and inspired by the people that show up here and join in on this show. Because, you know, you guys always say really nice things about me, and I appreciate that altogether. But I am you. I'm just like you. I'm equal to you in every way, form, or fashion. I have the love in my heart, the same love that you got. And we all recognize that together we make that one bit of love that we got amplified, if you understand what I'm trying to say. Yeah.
Buddy, you have a mustache like a porn star and hair like Einstein.
Yeah, but see, that hair is like genius, man. You can tell a genius by his hairstyle.
But you know my personal story, and you know I've had some really, really dark days.
Yep.
But what I do when I have a really, really bad day is I try and find a way to make somebody else's day better.
Well, that's a good thing, man.
Even if it's just as simple as opening a door for somebody carrying a heavy package. Or maybe you stop in the traffic and let someone in. Just do something for someone else.
That's the way it's supposed to work. I honestly believe that. Go ahead, Patty.
You're not going to cure world hunger and save the children in one day.
No.
But you can do something for someone else. That's all it takes.
Go ahead, Patty.
Well, you know, Shaziz, the thing of it is, you say that we all love you, and we do. The reason being is that you empower. There's never a broadcast that I have ever heard where you have not made that broadcast about self-empowerment, about the good news of who we are and what we can be. That is the key to making the change in a positive way, is making, you know, you talk about your positive pebbles all the time, and that's why I am here whenever I can be, because that is the key. When we can empower people instead of fill their lives with fear, when we can teach people of the things that they can do for themselves, that it's not out of their reach, that they are completely able to change their lives for the better, that's the key. And that's why this broadcast and your other broadcasts, Mad Science, are so important, and why we're here to support you. We are like you. We want to empower the people. We don't want to peddle fear. We don't want to peddle anxiety or anger or any of these things, because they do nothing. They do nothing to further the people. But when we can empower them and we can show them a way clearly that they can understand, that they can see, then we have done, I believe, what we are here to do.
I agree with you so much. I feel the same about all you folks. I'm telling you. Folks, we're down to the wire again. This is a part of the show that I just really, I kind of don't look forward to, because when you got something going on so profound, you just need to keep it going on. And the best way that you can help us to do that is to share this podcast. Today's podcast, because of our interruption, I'm going to have to take a little longer time to get the podcast uploaded. But it'll be worth it if you can wait around and get that podcast and share it with somebody out there. Somebody needs to hear this message. And once again, I'm inviting people to come to this show. I'm inviting you to get on here, talk with us, share your ideas, and join us in the chat room. There's only one way we're going to fix this. you know, without divine intervention of a creator that you may or may not believe exists, and that's your own personal spiritual journey. I can't force that upon you. It has to be a choice of your own to believe or not to believe in anything. But what you got to believe in is that we have a need as brothers and sisters, human race. We have a need to fix some things that are coming upon us. We have a need to protect one another. We need to be the thorn in the side of the evil. That's why nature put those thorns around that tree, to protect that tree. That's why we need to be the thorn in the side of the evil. That's why we need to be the good caretakers and the ones that's going out there like Steve and cooking meals for each other and doing things not for want of any return, but want for the world to be a better place than what we've had to contend with. We wouldn't be sitting here telling you things that we're telling you if we hadn't been down a road that was not as smooth as we would have liked it to be. Our founding fathers, mothers, sisters, and all that, you know, they laid some stones down for us that gave us the world that we live in today. And maybe they dropped the ball on certain things, and maybe they didn't. Maybe they did the best they could under the current circumstances, but now it's up to us to do the best that we can, because we are the elders. We are the wise. And as long as we got a voice and the power in our hearts to speak the truth, then that's what we need to be doing. And the only way that that truth can ever resonate out there and get to every single ear on this planet is if you pass that message on. Pass it on. Take this podcast and throw it up on your network. Play it for somebody. You know, and if they got any kind of thing they want to talk about, they can always come over here. We're always available. We open the microphone up to people. We just ask that you be respectful. That's it. We're not asking you to believe anything we say. We're not trying to convince you of anything other than the fact that there is a need to feed the hungry. There's a need to shelter the homeless.
Shaliz, let me sum it up for you in four words.
Go ahead.
Participate or capitulate.
Yep. I get so doggone emotional when I talk about this stuff, because I see where this world could be. I see where it is. I know what the book says. And by God, to watch this world that is the most amazing gift that has ever been given in the state of affairs that it is, it saddens my heart. It saddens my heart to its very core. That's why I spend the time to do what it is that I do here. And if crying makes me weak, then so be it. Because I can't allow people to take the path that I took in my life. I can't sit idly by and watch them make the same doggone mistakes that I made and go through that type of suffering, when if a possibility of one of my words could benefit their life in just the tiniest fashion that would make their life even remotely better, I gotta speak it. That's why I do what I do. So all you people out there from the government agencies that's listening in, that's worried about your power structure, your power belongs with the people. And until you figure that out, you're going to live in a world like you do. You're going to live with that axe hanging over your head for the day that the people do wake up, when that sleeping giant finally arises. You got some explaining to do. So with that said, folks, it's time to go around the table and give everybody to say. Two Dog didn't get as much time, so if you guys don't mind, I'd like to let him say his last piece there first on this show. Two Dog, you there?
Ladies and gentlemen, can you hear me, Ralph?
Yeah, we hear you fine.
I'm going to say this, if you don't mind. Ladies and gentlemen, if you want to talk what a warrior is supposed to do, a warrior's not to hold a gun and look stoic. It's not to sit out here and kill no one. If the elder needs a screen door put up, put it up for them. Take them to the store if they need to, if they have no way. we have to look at our elders because they're the wisdom. We have to love our women because they are the life giver of all nations, and there would be no nations without the great phenomenon out here, the sacred phenomenon. And we have to teach our next generation because they are the future. We need to look at each other, black, white, yellow, red, and start learning how to talk, which that's happening in my nation. But we need to keep that one-on-one relationship with whatever you call the Creator, and every step you take be a constant prayer and a constant talk with the great mystery. And a warrior is just someone that takes care of the people. He's not there to start these wars or whatever, but it's to take care of the people. That's a warrior. You chop wood for elders if they don't have or they can't do it themselves. It's time to come together as a human being. And with that, I do want you to know, as the late John Trudell said, I say it like this: our spirits can be eaten seriously. We're in a time when our spirits can be eaten. We must protect our spirit. Is this?
Thank you very much, Two Dog. That's a warrior is a protector. That's kind of been skewed through our history if you see what's going on these days. Barry, you got any words of wisdom?
Well, you know, Shaziz, as we see the world spiraling into a complete state of chaos, I just say to people, the most important thing is your connection with who I call Jesus Christ, whoever you want to call him in your life, your connection to the Creator. Is the most important thing, because we know that there's bad things coming and a lot of people are going to suffer, and that tears my heart apart too. You know, she says, I see the suffering going on in this planet right now and it is so unnecessary, but it's not us, it's Lucifer running wild on this planet right now. So make sure your heart's in the right place, because things are going to get chaotic and there's going to be a lot of deceptions put in front of the human race. Don't fall for these deceptions. Just stand tall in your truth, and that is the most important thing in your life right now at this point, as far as I'm concerned.
Amen, brother. What about you, Steve?
I can perfectly agree that a warrior is supposed to be a protector, not an instigator, because I've had some seriously dangerous people sit next to me with a rifles, drive me into so we can give people stuff they need for no other reason than it's the right thing to do.
Yep.
And other than that, as I always say, au revoir. I'm not French, but it's good to know your true enemy.
Yeah. Well, I tell you what, man, our patriots, our militaries, that the good men and women that go out there and they fight for freedom and justice, you know, for whatever you want to say, that however they've been manipulated, there are those out there that have true hearts that do that to be protectors. And so my heart goes out to them for having to go through any kind of conflict, you know, that could potentially cost them their lives and their families and stuff. And there's got to come a time, folks, when people decide that enough's enough. When, you know, the good people of the world gather together in masses and do what is necessary to be right with their Creator and, you know, just each other. It's, I don't know what more to say. So with that said, we might be just save the best for last.
Can I just follow that with one statement very briefly?
Yeah, go ahead.
Any man, woman, or even child, and it's a sad world we live in where children have to pick up a gun,
yeah,
that have taken the time to protect their own people and to serve their country, thank you for their service.
Amen, brother. So like I was about to say, I'm glad you said that, Steve, because I watched a video one time where a little girl was standing up in front of an army and asking them why and trying to protect her brothers and sisters. And like you said, it's sad that that would even be the case, that a child would have to put themselves in between danger and, you know, safety and freedom and, you know, just doing the right thing. But if you pay attention to children, you might learn something really profound. And so with that said, I saved the best for last. Patty, you got any words of wisdom?
Well, I don't know about the best, but, you know, as I've been listening to what's been said, the thing that comes to me is how do you define your life? Is it your life that you are defining, or are you defining the circumstances that surround your life? This is important. Only you have the right, have the ability to define who you are in this time. You can look at what is happening today, and you can grab on to fear and pull it into you, and you can react to what is happening. Or you can choose to define yourself as being above this, as being above fear and hate and anger. This is your choice. It always has been and it always will be. We have the right to live in love. We have the right to be at peace, even in this world as it is today. That's our choice. We cannot change the circumstances that we move through life. We can only change the way we move through these circumstances. And if you want to live a life that belongs to you, if you want to live a life that is mirrored by who you truly are, then accept the fact that there are things that will be that are contrary to what you want out of life. And those are the things that you need to move away from and move towards the things that benefit you and benefit life. We have this choice, and that's our power, and it's a greater power than anything that we are experiencing today. If it is faith that moves you, then be faithful. If it is science that moves you, then go into science with a mindset of benefit only, and you will find yourself being the person that you truly are. But fear and anger, these things are detrimental to you.
Yep.
And who you are. So we have a choice. It's always as simple as that. They try to make it complicated, but it's not. It's simple. The choice to live in a beneficial way for yourself, which in turn benefits everyone else, or to fall back into fear and anger and hate and close yourself off from who you truly are. It's just a choice. Thank you.
Well, folks, that I really don't know how to top that, but I'll tell you one thing's for sure. The world asked for a miracle. The world asked our creator, our source, or whatever you want to call it, for a miracle. And you were born. If you want to know where the miracle you've been waiting for is, you take a look in the mirror, because you have more powerful, you have more power than you can possibly imagine just by the things that you do and say. You can feed that person that's hungry. You can shelter the homeless. You can end the wars. And if you think one person can do so many amazing things, imagine what many, many, many people, millions, billions, like Patty mentioned earlier, billions of good people in this world decide together that they want to fix things, it's going to get done. And every single person out here on this planet has to understand your self-worth. Not your ego or your fame or your fortune, but the piece of the puzzle that you are that makes the big picture. You are the miracle you've been waiting for. Go take a look in the mirror and see what a miracle really looks like. Take a look around you and see all that you've been given by what I believe to be our God. Take a look at all the sacrifice that all the people of the past have made in order to make your life what it is today, to be able to enjoy air conditioning and heating and cooling and TV and fresh water and food, abundance. And think about offering that blessing on to the rest of the world that is in need. You got something too, dog?
Is this?
Yeah.
I do have something, if you allow me to do this right after, and then we'll go with whatever you need to do, but it just come at me.
Go ahead.
I want to do it like this. God, Jesus, Ichimanitu, Wakam Tonka, Tonkai Shiva, all the names that people call you around the world, I look to you today. I thank you for the trees, the rocks, the mountains, the mothers that I walk on. I thank you for the people I've met, black, white, yellow, and brown. I thank you for the love we've shared together, the talk we've talked. Grandfather, with my personal self, I humble myself to you today, and I give my heart that I will do exactly what you ask me to do, and that I will not look at you, I will pick them up if they're down.
Amen.
And then I will hold arms. Yeah, the worldwide. We love the Philippines. We love
Two Dog, you're cutting out really bad, brother.
Every world, we love every nation. There is nobody different. We're all the same. Culturally, we may be different, grandfather, but in human. So I put my hand together what I can love. Thank you for this.
Amen, brother. You keep that message flowing because this world needs it. You know, I asked for a miracle and all you all showed up. My miracle came in many faces and many names and many colors from all different lands. And all I'm wanting to do with that miracle is to share that blessing with everybody else that I can. That's what the Knights of the Round Table stands for. So let honor and truth and justice and freedom and fairness, let it permeate the world.
Ma'am, sorry, what knight lives in that castle over there?
I'm 37.
What?
I'm 37, I'm not old.
Well, I can't just call you ma'am.
You could say Dennis.
I didn't know you were called Dennis.
Well, you didn't bother to find out, did you?
I did say sorry about the old woman, but from behind you looked...
What I object to is you automatically treat me like an inferior.
Well, I am king.
Oh, king, eh? Very nice. And how do you get that, eh? By exploiting the workers. By hanging on to outdated imperialist dogma which perpetuates the economic and social differences in our society. If there's ever going to be any progress...
Dennis, there's some lovely filth down here. Oh, how'd you do?
How'd you do, good lady? I'm Arthur, King of the Britons. Whose castle is that?
King of who?
The Britons.
Who are the Britons?
Well, we all are. We are all Britons. And I am your king.
I didn't know we had a king. I thought we were an autonomous collective.
You're fooling yourself. We're living in a dictatorship. A self-perpetuating autocracy in which the working classes...
Oh, there you go, bringing class into it again.
That's what it's all about. If only people would
realize... Please, please, good people. I am in haste. Who lives in that castle?
No one lives there.
Then who is your lord?
We don't have a lord.
What?
I told you, we're an anarcho-syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet!
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet! I order you to be quiet!
Oh, who does he think he is?
I'm your king.
Well, I didn't vote for you.
You don't vote for kings.
Well, how'd you become king, then?
The Lady of the Lake. Her arm clad in the purest shimmering samite, held aloft Excalibur from the bosom of the water, signifying by divine providence that I, Arthur, was to carry Excalibur. That is why I'm your king.
Listen, strange women lying in ponds, distributing swords, is no basis for a system of government. Supreme executive power derives from a mandate from the masses, not from some farcical aquatic ceremony.
Be quiet!
But you can't expect to wield supreme executive power just because some watery tart threw a sword at you.
Shut up!
I mean, if I went round saying I was an emperor, just because some moistened bint had lobbed a scimitar at me, they'd put me away!
Shut up! Will you shut up?
Ah, now we see the violence inherent in the system.
Shut up!
Oh, come and see the violence inherent in the system! Help! Help! I'm being repressed!
Bloody peasant!
Oh, what a giveaway! Do you hear that? Do you hear that, eh? That's what I'm on about. Do you see him repressing me? You saw it, didn't you?
Camelot. Camelot. Camelot.
It's only a model.
Shh. Knights, I bid you welcome to your new home. Let us ride to Camelot!
We're knights of the round table, three dots whenever we're able. We're a routine to call a scene, to put work in fed cable. We dine well here in Camelot, we eat ham and jam and spam off. We're knights of the round table, our shows are more mid-table. So many times we give and rhyme, that our boys don't sing able. We're hot and bad in Camelot, we sing from the die of Camelot.
I have to push the pram a lot.
No, on second thoughts, let's not go to Camelot. It is a silly place.
Right. Hey, hey, hey. King Shazir the Terrible.
Exactly.
Wow.
So living as a man and became pregnant and gave birth and so